buy anything anymore. That's it.
Today, we begin a special series of reports on the children of the recession. It starts with a look at how parents are addressing the economic downturn with their kids. Here's CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Most families have had the recession conversation. Sorry, we can't afford that. Our survey director, Sarah Dutton, on a CBS News poll of almost 1,000 Americans with kids.
60% of parents told us that they had to tell their children that they just didn't have the money for some things that they used to have.
And just over half say their kids were upset to hear that. One poll respondent, Tim, a divorced dad taking care of his kids in Oregon, says,
they understand, and I try to rent a 99-cent movie and make a movie night of it.
But going to a movie theater or a restaurant, out of the question. That dad is unemployed. In the lower income range, more than 2 out of 10 parents admit they've delayed medical or dental care for their kids because of the recession.
I'm Barry Vagnato in Austin, Texas. Turn into Ralph Coulson's economics class here at Austin High and hear how the recession is shaping students. Assignment, life on a budget.
How many of you were surprised at how much you spent on lunch?
I'm over John at the bank, and so is my mom.
Gas at this gas station near my house went up 11 cents in one night. I don't use that gas station.
For many American children, the problems are far more serious.
Everything from chronic illness that's not properly attended to, children mislabeled as behavioral problems.
Dr. Irwin Redlener, head of the Children's Health Fund.
We're expecting 4 million additional children forced into poverty by the end of 2009 alone.
While safety net programs are cut, developing children can't wait for a recovery, he argues. They need a bailout.
There's just no better investment that we can make.
Barry Vagnato, CBS News, Austin.
The U.S. has recorded its 6th death from swine flu, a public school administrator, in New York. 11 city schools will be closed today. And in Japan, the number of H1N1 cases has jumped to more than 120. Now, the World Health Organization has begun its annual meeting in Geneva. What's the likelihood it will raise its flu alert level to signal a full-blown pandemic? CBS News medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton.
They almost meet criteria for that to occur now. All they need is evidence of community-level outbreaks in 2 different World Health Organization regions, one of them being Asia, one of them being the United States. They already could do that, and if they do, it just means an increase in mobilization of their resources, both social and pharmacological.
In Southern California, sweeping up the broken glass left by last night's moderate earthquake that jolted the Los Angeles area. This moviegoer was in the theater when the magnitude 5 quake hit.
It lasted like maybe 20 seconds, 25 seconds. We thought the ceiling was going to cave in, to be honest, so everybody just started to run out of there and try to get out of there as safely as possible.
Now, there are no reports of any serious injuries, and there is no word of any significant damage caused by the tremor. New research suggests delaying retirement as a way to stave off Alzheimer's. Reporter Vicky Barker joins us live from London on the CBS Health Watch.
If this study of 400 British men is borne out in larger samples, then every year a man delays retirement delays the onset of dementia symptoms by 6 weeks. And, unlike earlier studies, this one found no link between the type of work or education the man had. But, crucially, the researchers warn it's still too soon to say if working longer prevents Alzheimer's or if the men retiring later are simply healthier and hence in a lower risk group. Nick?
Time on the roundup is 4 past the hour.
I'm David Kale with an AM 760 local news update. Aurora police are investigating a possible homicide after a man was found dead in the street. Detective Shannon Lucy tells 9 News the man's body was discovered yesterday morning near East Quincy and Buckley Road.
We have found some other things that make us think that it could be something else besides a hit-and-run accident or some kind of a traffic accident.
The only description of the victim is that he's an adult male, Hispanic, or Native American. Anyone with information is asked to call Aurora Police. A medical helicopter carrying a patient from Greeley to Denver was forced to make an emergency landing after a bird strike left a small hole in the front windshield. 9 News reports the helicopter was about 2 miles from Swedish Medical Center when the bird collided with the helicopter. The chopper landed at an airport about 10 miles away, and the neurology patient was then driven to the hospital. The Pepsi Center's double booked for Monday. The NBA wants Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals there. The WWE is scheduled to hold a live taping of its flagship Raw television wrestling show on the same night and began selling tickets more than a month ago. Nuggets will take on the Lakers in that Western Conference Finals as the Lakers won a seventh and deciding game on their home court over Houston yesterday, 89-70. Lakers coach Phil Jackson says the Nuggets pose a big challenge.
We know what type of a team we're facing. Preparation time is going to be limited. We're going to have to go just on emotion and gut level.
Game one of the Western Conference Finals is tomorrow night at the Staples Center in L.A. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale, now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Speeds are pretty good on the metro highways as you are cruising around and things do get up and running. You'll find a few more cars on the southbound side of I-25 on that approach to 38 towards Spear. Speeds are going to drop into the 40s and 50s. No significant delays. The rest of the highway is pretty good shape. We do have an accident in the works. This is at Havana and Iliff. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Beat the summer heat with low Walmart prices on everyone's favorite brands of ice cream. 48-ounce Breyers ice cream.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Still married. Stacy's cool.
I mean, I really can't believe you brought that into the... You brought Turk family politics into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
Yeah, I did. And I tell you what, it was kind of a battle between me and my wife and my mom on Thursday afternoon.
I'm sure.
Everything's smooth now, and we know what to do for next Mother's Day, so we're good.
Oh, man. I spent my weekend back in... I was in New York and in Philly for my brother's graduation, and I'm still, like, recovering. I got so much food in my belly. You know, we had a big graduation party, and I saw Star Trek. I give it like a three and a half stars.
So it's not as good as you thought it was going to be. I can kind of tell you're disappointed.
You know, it starts out really, really strong, and then it gets a little convoluted, which I know is J.J. Abrams' sort of thing that he does. J.J. Abrams is the director of Lost. He's also the director of Star Trek. I'm obsessed with Lost, but Lost is a lot of things.
And it's kind of lost you, hasn't it?
Well, one thing that Lost is certainly convoluted. And Star Trek, it's like really cool at the beginning, super straightforward, and then it's got this like space-time situation that gets kind of confusing, and it's good. It's good, but it's just a little convoluted. But again, I definitely recommend it. Definitely entertaining, well-written. You know, Leonard Nimoy, come on. You got to see any, you know, Leonard Nimoy as Spock. You got to see it. Yeah, so it was good. I was a little disappointed. You're right, a little disappointed. But definitely worth seeing. Definitely worth seeing. Let's see, what else? Yeah, I heard you did a good job. Really good job. I am stuffed full. I watched Star Trek. Oh, I heard it was like the nicest weekend ever here.
It was a great weekend.
Yeah.
I went up to my parents' cabin up outside of Central City, and it had to be in the mid-80s up there yesterday. I don't know how hot it was down here, but it was awesome.
Yeah, well,
nice three-hour-long hike with my kids.
It wasn't that nice back east.
Was
so
it hot,
I keep missing. No, it was like cold. I keep missing good weekends. It's really annoying.
And look at what's coming up this weekend. Weather dips for Friday.
Is it really?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday it turns. It's supposed to be like in the 90s most of
the time. Well, my brother's up at Vail right now. He's a doctor, and he's up at Vail, and he's been all alone, and he's been all bummed out because he couldn't come to the graduation. So I promised him we're gonna go hiking this week after the show. In fact, I might bring him in. I think I might bring him into the show tomorrow. Have him hang out. Yeah, and then we're gonna go hiking up in the Indian Wilderness. Is that right?
Indian Peaks Wilderness.
Yeah, Indian Peaks Wilderness area. I think we're gonna go up there. I think that's the plan. And I get my visas for China, getting all ready for that. Pretty psyched. All right, let's do a news rundown.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Okay, we'll do some Colorado news first. Denver judge could be on Obama's shortlist for Supreme Court nominee. The Colorado Independent says that the U.S. District Court Judge Christine Arguello, if I'm saying that name right, named to the bench for the District of Colorado by President Bush last fall, tops the list of potential Supreme Court nominees who haven't gotten press attention. That's what NPR's court correspondent Nina Totenberg says. I don't know much about this judge. Totenberg, her little profile is, she says, Arguello is a Mexican-American, Harvard law grad, daughter of a railroad worker, first in her family to go to college, a lawyer, professor, and Colorado's chief deputy attorney general, nominated by President Clinton to a federal appeals court, but too late to win confirmation. Last year, promoted by Democratic Senator Ken Salazar, she was appointed a federal trial judge by President Bush. So I don't know much about her politics, but a little local connection to the Supreme Court fight. Governor Bill Ritter said this weekend he's going to sign a bill to prevent the Army from buying or leasing land in southeast Colorado for a military training site. Ritter told the Pueblo Chieftain the bill is a safety net for farmers and ranchers who fear an Army takeover of their land. He says it may not be the last discussion we have on Pinyon Canyon, but it's important to put this safety net in place. Yesterday's Denver Post reports that in 5 years' time, Colorado has quietly become one of the most welcoming states in the region for gays, lesbians, and transgender individuals seeking the same legal rights as in liberal states. As gay rights champion Senator Jennifer Viega departs the legislature, same-sex couples across Colorado will be able to enjoy many of the same benefits as married pairs through recent legislation that both critics and supporters have called civil unions light. In Boulder, the Boulder Daily Camera reports that sales tax revenues have declined dramatically. Despite some deals, year-to-date sales are down slightly at local retailers. Boulder area municipal coffers took some hits during the first quarter of 2009 as consumers continued to scale back on spending. According to sales tax revenue reports from Boulder, Broomfield, and surrounding areas. Denver Business Journal reports more Coloradans are covered by Medicaid, the government-sponsored health plan for low-income families, than any time in the program's 40-year history. That's according to the Colorado Department of Health Care Policy and Financing. The number of Coloradans receiving Medicaid benefits rose to 457,000 people in April, an increase of more than 9,000 from the previous month and 72,000 from the same time last year. As we were just discussing, as a very large dome of very warm air builds over Colorado in the coming days, temperatures are expected to soar into the lower 90s. Record highs could be broken today and tomorrow. Sounds like it's not just a sandals day, it's a tank top day. Colorado Polls reports that the failure of New Frontier Bank and Greeley has led to a political and economic swirl in the agricultural communities of northeast Colorado. A $700 million economic black hole opened up. But there may be a bailout coming from the Department of Agriculture. Three Democratic legislators in Congress from the area are pushing for some kind of agricultural bailout for northern Colorado. So stay tuned on that. National news. This is my favorite. A little pop culture here. ABC TV is developing a new adaptation of V. The Visitors. Remember V? Where they were, what, they ate rats, they were lizards with, like, people skin over them. Yeah, so V may be coming out. So psyched. All right, in actual real news. Actually, that is news, but it's not real news. I mean, it's true, it's just not news. The Obama administration is seeking $12.8 billion in new tax revenue from life insurers over the next decade, even as the federal government offers the struggling sector bailout funds. The provisions in the Treasury Department tax plan released last week restrict several products that have drawn attention from regulators in recent years because of the way they use life insurance policies as vehicles for minimizing taxes on investments. This is good news. I mean, a lot of very wealthy folks invest in life insurance as a way to shelter their resources from tax collection. They buy these annuities, et cetera, et cetera. Congress next month will start the biggest regulatory overhaul of the U.S. financial system in decades, bringing into the open a frantic lobbying effort between banks, regulators, and policymakers on what it contains and who pays for it. That's according to the Financial Times. Last week, at the end of the week, the Obama administration announced a preliminary step to try to regulate some of those credit default swaps, those crazy complex instruments, investment instruments, that went unregulated to, obviously, all of our peril. So good news on the regulatory front. The Politico reports the Republican Party has scarcely begun to repair a wound that threatens to confine it to minority status permanently. Its 2006 collapse among Hispanic voters, driven by some Republicans' sharp attacks on illegal immigration, and as many Latinos perceive it, immigrants in general, Latino voters fled the Republican Party in the midterm elections and then turned on John McCain as well. The Hill News reports that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's fight with the CIA has put her in one of the toughest spots she's been in since she became Speaker. This is the whole controversy about when did she know about torture. I was on Fox News on Friday, the morning show. I was asked about this, and clearly Pelosi's, I said it, even though I was on Fox, I admitted it. Pelosi's in trouble. But what the Hill News reports today is what I told Fox, that if pressure on Pelosi creates more pressure for a truth investigation, a true congressional investigation into what happened, that's a good thing. We need to know, did Pelosi know? And we need to know, obviously, even more importantly, what was Bush and Cheney ordering? What were their underlings justifying through their legal memos? If this gets us to a true investigation, that's good news. The Huffington Post reports that in 2004, Edmund Andrews dove into the world of subprime mortgages and bought a home he couldn't afford. Two years later, he wound up with $50,000 in credit card debt, and the stress and panic attacks started straining his relationship. Now, what's news about this? Lots of people are going through this. Well, he's the chief business reporter for the New York Times, who'd been sounding the alarm about the looming housing crisis for several years. Nice guy. I know him from my time working on Capitol Hill. So he is he actually went through the horrible process that he had been reporting on. News of the weird. Someone has beheaded a statue of President James Garfield that was installed last week at an Ohio college. Yeah, somebody's got a grudge against James Garfield. Authorities in North Carolina say a store owner and a patron thwarted a teen accused of trying to carry out a robbery by concealing a banana beneath his shirt to resemble a gun. The kid later ate the banana. He later ate. That's in the story. I'm not even making that up. All right. Final two stories here. And these are going to be the topics of the first hour. AP reports Daniel Hauser doesn't think he's sick, and he thinks chemotherapy will kill him. The 13-year-old with Hodgkin's lymphoma told the judge he got so ill he couldn't walk the one time he got the treatment. The boy's parents have opted for alternative medicine, citing their religious beliefs, even though doctors said he would almost certainly die without chemotherapy. The judge in Brown County ruled Friday the boy needs to be reevaluated to see if he would still benefit from chemotherapy treatments or if his cancer has advanced to a point where it's already too late. So should parents be allowed to not have their kids go through things like chemotherapy, even if chemotherapy is the life-saving, potentially life-saving therapy? And then check this out. The ACLU has organized a collection of patients, clinicians, and medical organizations and filed a suit that seeks to overturn patents awarded to companies for human genes. This company uses the patents to enforce its monopoly on testing for genetic changes associated with breast cancer. So there's now a suit in court about whether you can patent human genes. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
Okay, so questions of the morning. First two questions. What do you think about this ruling in the chemotherapy case? Should parents be able to decide completely what the medical treatment should be for their kids and whether they can have their kids not get the most life-saving or potentially the life-saving treatments that they may need for religious beliefs, for beliefs in alternative medicine? Should that be the right parents have? Or should there be some other way to make sure kids get the treatment suggested by doctors? Where do you stand on this? And then the ACLU case, do you think human genomes should be able to be patented? We'll get into the both sides of this debate. But do you think genes, if a company discovers a specific gene code, do you think it should be able to patent that? Or do you think nothing in nature should be able to be patented? We got open phones. 303-713-7600 is the number. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Again, should parents be able to decide whether their kids get life-saving medical treatment or not based on religious beliefs?
That's a tricky one, isn't it, Dave?
It is really, it's really
tricky. I kind of can see both sides of that one.
Yeah, it's really, really tricky. And then what do you think about the human genome one? Should a company be able to patent a human genome that it discovers?
I don't think so. It seems kind of strange and sci-fi-ish to me.
Yeah, but then how do you...
But hey, you patent the very smart genomes.
How do you economically incentivize companies to research genes if you won't give them a patent?
Good question.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Going up to 92 degrees today. It's a sandals and tank top day. Let's get a traffic update.
You got it, Dave. Look out for sun glare. Could be an issue for us this morning. Going to be a nice day, and already seeing it pop up in the east. Going to slow you down on the eastbound approaches on 270. Already busy there heading into downtown. Also, you may be hitting the brakes eastbound 6th Avenue, approaching 25 after Federal. Our heaviest jams right now, southbound 25. No surprise up in North Glen, 104th down to 84th. Already showing speeds down in the 20s and 30s. Our solo accident, Iliff and Havana in the cleanup stages, should be out of our way here shortly. Also starting to see things build there in Aurora, southbound side of 225, Colfax to Alameda, not so bad as you're trying to get to the tech center there after Parker Road. Your forecast, mostly sunny skies to start the day, but late this afternoon, gusty storms may move into the front range, bringing a few clouds, gusty winds, and some lightning, but a little rain. Look for highs in the low 90s. We could break our record of 93 set in 1996. Right now, 54 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The new DexKnows.com. Now
my granny and I have a special relationship. We've always been close, and I like to help her out when I can. But errands like picking up her medicine took away from our time. Then I found out about Walmart's prescription programs. Not only do they offer a 30-day supply for $4, now granny can get a 90-day supply for only $10. And fewer trips to the pharmacy means more time for me to beat her at BidWist. But when she doesn't beat me.
Walmart's prescription program offers huge savings on hundreds of well-known medicines. Restrictions apply. See Walmart.com or your Walmart pharmacist for details. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go.
Then, it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave. Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Do you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105. And online at www.solaripS.com.
Just talk about climate change. Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems, a winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at Coloradco.com.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
1001, or check them out on the internets at icondenver.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. A couple more stories just to fill you in on. Connections, the wireless kind, are starting to be made in the U.S. skies as one airline after another begins testing and offering broadband internet access on their planes. I'm pretty psyched about that. I mean, I kind of like the isolation of the plane sometimes when you're flying and you can, you know, it's like the one place where you're not connected, but sometimes I also need to do work, so it would be nice to have that option. Yesterday, speaking of long plane rides, and I'm doing it again this week, I can't believe it. I'm going back to the East Coast in like 4 days for a wedding, so I'm going to go crisscrossing the country. I hate it. But yesterday I watched doing some research for my book, I watched 5 episodes of The Cosby Show. And that show is so good. It's so good. I forgot how good that show is. So I use my isolation well. One other piece of news, Coca-Cola is developing a new type of bottle that could replace at least some of the environmentally harmful plastic it and other beverage makers now use with more earth-friendly material made from sugarcane and molasses. It's pretty cool. But the story of this hour that we're going to debate here should a family be able to reject chemotherapy for their kids based on religious or other kinds of beliefs in alternative medicine? A judge in Minnesota has ruled basically that a family can't really do that. He basically ruled that the family was neglectful in deciding to pursue alternative treatment instead of a chemotherapy, which doctors had strongly recommended and told the family that the kid would die if he doesn't get chemotherapy. Should families be able to decide medical care and really basically go against the advice of doctors in a life or death situation and make decisions for their children that will potentially endanger the children's lives? Or is that, should that be the family's right? 303-713-7600. And then the other story we're debating here is the ACLU has organized a lawsuit against Myriad Genetics, which has basically patented a breast cancer gene mutation and patented the ability to test it. To do tests on it to see if it can cure it. Should gene codes be able to be patented? Right? The company said, hey, we researched this. We found the exact genetic makeup of this mutation. We're going to patent it so we can test it, so we can develop the medicine to cure it, and we can make lots of money off that. Should a company be able to patent a human genome or the genome of a disease that affects humans? Or is that way too sci-fi, you know, cloning, sci-fi channel stuff? What do you think? 303-713-7600. We got open phones. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll go to the phones. Let's go to Sarah in Denver. Sarah.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, you want me to tell you what my opinion is, and I would hope that everyone would share the opinion that the decision belongs to first the boy, who obviously already said, please don't give me any more of this poison. I can feel it toxically trickling throughout my body, and my body's rejecting it. The parents are helpless to oblige and make a decision, and then it's overruled. So what would you do?
Well, the judge says, just running with the judge says, reading what the judge says, the judge says that the boy only has, quote, a rudimentary understanding at best of the risks and benefits of chemotherapy. For instance, he does not believe he is ill currently. The fact is that he is very ill currently. So the judge is basically saying the child doesn't have the, a 13-year-old child does not have the ability to understand.
I hear all that. I have two people in my family who died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma without a chance. Chemo made them violently ill, and I believe I watched them die of chemotherapy poisoning. Now, that is my opinion, but I believe that they would share my opinion. So I cannot see making anybody take chemo, whoever they are, if they don't want to take it. It's their decision.
So you're saying a 6-year-old should be able to make that decision, for instance.
How old is he?
Well, he's 13. I'm just saying, you're saying anybody. I'm throwing a hypothetical out of here.
Parents stand behind it. Who do you want to choose your health care?
Well, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer on this.
Anyone has presented options of what their care alternatives could be. Who makes the decision? A judge?
Well, the judge is ruling on, as I understand it, the judge is ruling on what is parentally neglectful. What is neglecting a child?
Who presented the case to the judge? An attorney in behalf of the doctors who are trying to sell the chemotherapy? I don't understand. I guess you'd have to start a little farther back.
Yeah, I think it is child welfare services. That's what I think.
Oh,
I can,
the government.
Yes, that's right. Okay. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, personally, I would never choose chemotherapy. Now, if I was unable to make the decision, I would want an informed decision to be made. There's never any guarantee that what a medical doctor can offer you in opposition to what an alternative doctor could offer you. There's no guarantees with cancer anyway.
But that's definitely true.
And there are alternative treatments that have been proven effective. So, you know, who's to decide, oh, this was ruled ineffective? Well, really, I've worked in medical care for a long time and off and on in different arenas of it. And I've seen people die repeatedly taking Western medical type of care. Yeah.
Right. So. And so then the question is, you know, maybe the parents weren't being neglectful.
Well,
maybe they're
making not.
Maybe they're making an informed decision.
I believe that they're trying to make the child not feel so helpless. The child doesn't feel sick because he doesn't have anything inside him making him feel sick. If he were to die of cancer that made him feel nothing, what a great way to go.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go that far as to say,
well,
you know.
Do you like to feel sick? Because I don't.
Well, no,
like
you don't like to feel sick. But hold on a minute.
Did you like
there
to
are a lot
over?
Of ways.
I
there are
like
a lot of ways that
over.
You end up feeling not so good in order to get better, right? And so that's exactly what the judge is actually talking about. So let's not downplay that the child. He's saying the child doesn't really fully understand what's going on. The child just says, hey, I don't feel that bad, so I'm not sick. Now, when you get to be an older person, you have a more nuanced understanding that you may not feel sick, but if a doctor tells you you're really, really sick, you're probably really, really sick. So let's not downplay that part of this. Thanks for the call. 6:37, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We've opened up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We're debating whether a judge should be able to say a teen, and therefore his family, is not allowed to refuse chemotherapy, not allowed to refuse life-saving treatment. That's what basically this judge said in Minnesota, saying that the family is basically being neglectful of the child by saying that he shouldn't take chemotherapy for cancer and he should take alternative therapies. What do you think? Do you think parents should be empowered to decide against the wishes of their doctors?
I think
treatments.
So, Dave, don't you? Kind of, in a way. I mean, if you look at the difference, if you take his case versus, like, Terry Schiavo's case.
Right.
It's like, who should the decision be up to? I think it should ultimately be up to the family.
Well, I guess the question is what's the definition of neglectful? Right? I mean, what's the definition of, like, where do you draw the line? Right? Like, what if a kid gets, a fever? Okay? Is it neglectful for the parents to not give the child any treatment whatsoever? Right? Let's say, you know, the parents don't give the child Tylenol to bring the fever down. The child ends up dying. Let's not even talk about cancer, because cancer, you don't know if you're going to survive. But what about something that you do know is easily survivable with basic, non-invasive treatments? Is it neglectful for a parent to say, I'm not going to give you this non-invasive treatment? Again, what if your kid has like a fever? And the parents say, no, I don't believe in giving the kid Tylenol. And the kid dies of a fever. Is that neglectful? Where do you draw the line?
That seems pretty neglectful,
doesn't it?
Yeah,
but where do you draw the line, right?
Degree.
I don't know.
Right, like cancer or
this
fever.
This topic is really, really a... I sit on the fence. I know it's a lame position to take, but, you know, I think that the decision should lie with the family.
I definitely think this... I think the reflex
whether
should
be... Whether the decision
be
neglectful or not.
I think the reflex should be it should reside with the family, but I also think it's like there's got to be, like, a certain line. There's got to be some rules, right? Because... You don't want to let irresponsible parents or irrational parents make decisions that are really irrational. Now, again, cancer, you don't know if the kid's going to be able to be saved. So it's a murky issue.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like an irrational... They don't seem like irrational parents.
They don't, just
on the surface
they don't
from
seem
what I read
like
the story.
But what the court is trying to get to, which is where it gets real hard, is, okay, where do you draw the line? When is it okay for the state to say, hey... You're not making a rational
decision.
You're stepping
in to make decisions for your child.
Yeah, like that's the tough part. 303-713-7600, weigh in. We're here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. It's opened up pretty early this morning. Weigh in, and then feel free to weigh in on whether you think a company should be able to patent a genome. Should it be able to patent a human genome or the genome code of a cancerous disease? One company is being sued by the ACLU for trying to patent the genome of a form of breast cancer so that they can test it, test the mutation, test it to try to create a cure, and so that they would therefore own the cure. Is it okay to patent a human genome or a disease's genome? 303-713-7600. All right, let's get a traffic update.
Got a nasty accident messing things up. Coming out of Aurora, a rollover crash southbound 225. It's right around Colfax. Going to see single-digit speeds all the way back where 225 starts at I-70. Coming down on the southbound side. Northbounders also slowing down to take a look there. Our other heavy jams this morning, eastbound C-470, Wadsworth to Santa Fe, may be dealing with some sun glare as well. Also southbound 25, busy, normal spots. North Glen 120th, down 84th again after I-70. Still working this crash out in Aurora, Iliff and Havana in the cleanup phase. Hopefully he's going to be out of your way soon, but I said that last time. We'll see what happens at our next report around 6:50. Your forecast, mostly sunny with a high of 91 degrees, just a couple off our record of 93. Possible late afternoon lightning storms, but little rain, if any, expected. Right now, 55 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Tired of happy hour specials that really aren't so special? Try the new Grand Happy Hour at Grand Lux Cafe, weekdays from 4 to 6 at Park Meadows Mall. They have daily specials on appetizers, beer, wine, and today's featured cocktail, the Pomegranate Margarita, is only $5.
60 Minutes.
The CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Charles Gross.
Today on...
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Showbiz.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Good news if you're a fan of VH1's reality shows. The network has just renewed their shows Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, I Want to Work for Diddy, Brooke Knows Best, Gotti's Way, and Tool Academy for brand new seasons. They've also ordered Sex Rehab with Dr. Drew to be made, a show that's been in the works since earlier this year.
Technically, Michael Caine has retired. In reality, the 75-year-old actor admits that he finds it hard to turn down a script, a statement supported by recent roles in movies such as Dark Knight, Children of Men, The Prestige, and the new movie Is Anybody There?, now showing nationwide, in which Caine gives what many believe is one of his best performances yet.
1-866-332-1941. Remember...
Understand,
honor,
and give from the heart.
PearlHarborMemorial.com. Thank you.
/6:44. All right, let's get some more details on this. Because this story is just not as straightforward as you think it is. I'm reading from the, this is the conservative Washington Times. And, you know, usually you'd expect them to, actually, well, this is an AP story in the Washington Times. Okay, so this is pretty straight news here. Child protection workers accused Daniel's parents of medical neglect. But in court, his mother insisted that the boy wouldn't submit to chemotherapy for religious reasons, and she said she wouldn't comply if the court orders it. Okay. Now, we're trying to figure out what's rational, what's irrational, what's medically neglectful, what's not. Should parents be able to deny medical treatment for their kids? Should, in particular, this family be able to deny chemotherapy for the child? He's got a case of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now, just to give a little bit more detail here, doctors have said that Daniel's cancer had up to a 90% chance of being cured with chemotherapy and radiation. And without those treatments, doctors told the family, his chances of survival are 5%. So, taking doctors at their word, basically what we're talking about a situation here where if he takes the medicine, he's basically pretty well guaranteed, not completely, but pretty well guaranteed to survive. If he doesn't take the chemotherapy, the doctors are saying he's pretty well guaranteed to die. Daniel's parents have been supporting what they say is their son's decision to treat the disease with nutritional supplements and other alternative treatments. After the first chemotherapy treatment, family members said they wanted a second opinion. They later informed folks that Daniel would not undergo any more chemotherapy. The doctors said Daniel's tumor shrank after the first chemotherapy, but x-rays showed it has grown since he stopped the chemotherapy. And so basically the county, the district attorney of this county, has said you are being medically neglectful by denying the child chemotherapy. And I shouldn't even say maybe it's not denying. By when the child says he doesn't like how the chemotherapy feels, I don't want chemotherapy, mom and dad, the parents said, okay, we'll do alternative medicine. Even though the doctors are saying, listen, if you don't take chemotherapy, you've got a 5% chance of survival. So the court is trying to rule on what is medically neglectful and what is not. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Should the court be ruling that a parent's medical decisions are medically neglectful or not based on their religious beliefs? In a situation where their religious beliefs, based on what doctors are telling us, their religious beliefs against chemotherapy gives the child, takes the child's survival rate from a 90% survival rate to a 5% survival rate. And then the second topic right now, the ACLU is suing Myriad Genetics, which is trying to patent the genetic code of a form of breast cancer so that it can research that breast cancer, hopefully create a cure for it, and then own the cure. But they want to patent the breast cancer genetic code that they've done research on to find. Do you think that's okay? 303-713-7600. Larry, you're on AM760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, David, how are you?
All right.
Hey, you know, I think there's a real tie-in between both subjects, the child's folks versus government, and also in the breast cancer genome being patented. I think in some instances, for the common good, the common weal, it's a case of kind of a, in both instances, like an eminent domain prevails. I feel they in both circumstances, the common good is the largest issue. I happen to think, for instance, in a lot of cases with fundamentalist religious folks, I'm so sorry, and I have a spiritual belief. I practice a yoga and so forth, but a lot of folks who are fundamentalists are not really in their right minds. They're not thinking rationally. And I think in this instance, his folks are not using common sense. For the child's good, they should consider all alternatives.
But what about the argument that, look, this is their religious beliefs?
You know what, David? I am so sorry, but there are some religious beliefs that are just not rational. In this instance, and the child being, you know, underage, a child doesn't fully understand, parents are not in their right minds.
Well, I agree with you that, frankly, what the child wants should have nothing to do with it.
Right.
I don't want to say that, but it shouldn't be the ultimate decider.
Right. Right.
The child is not in a position to make the decision in a cognitive place.
Right.
It just doesn't. A 13-year-old cannot understand. I mean, let's put it this way: a 13-year-old can understand, but most 13-year-olds don't have the ability yet to really understand complex medical decisions. I mean, most of us as adults barely have the ability to make complex medical decisions. I'll admit that right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So the whole argument about what the kid wants, I'm less interested in that than I am in who gets to decide. Is it the parents? Is it the doctors? Is there some kind of line that needs to be drawn? Like, if the court is going to rule this way, I mean, frankly, I'd like the court to articulate, all right, and the courts do this all the time, you know, what is the line?
Right.
What is the, where do we say, all right, this is okay for a parent to decide, this is not okay for a parent to decide, you know, this is okay for a parent to decide, and this is becomes medically neglectful. It's hard to know where that line is, but clearly we need to know where that line is.
Yeah, well, both issues are tough. I agree. There's a slippery slope there. It's precedent setting. I mean, I'm sure there are other court cases out there that have decided one way or the other about, you know, medical benefit versus religious belief. I mean, as I think about it, there's probably a ton of them out there. But once again, it's just like, I think the common good is that parents can't decree a death sentence.
Right.
Without, you know, having.
And you know what? What you're saying is that this case goes beyond just this case. This case sets a precedent. Right. About this case begins setting a legal precedent about what parents can and cannot do. Right. And actually, you know, as I'm thinking about it, this case is pretty cut and dry. Right. We talked about the first caller said, well, it's cancer. You don't know if he's going to survive. Look, taking doctors at their word that he's got a 90% chance of survival if he takes the chemotherapy and only a 5% chance of survival if he doesn't take the chemotherapy, that's pretty cut and dry. If you take the chemotherapy, you're probably going to live. If you don't take the chemotherapy, you're probably going to die. So it's basically a pretty clear-cut life and death issue, which means this is going to be potentially precedent-setting or starting to set the precedent. And I think there definitely need to be some kind of balance between giving parents control, but also guaranteeing some form of safety valve in the case of, as you put it, a parent issuing a death sentence to their child. Larry, thanks for the call. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. Should parents be able to deny chemotherapy to their kids based on religious beliefs? And should companies be able to patent human genomes or the genome code of diseases that affect humans? One company is trying to do that. 303-713-7600. Denny, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
David, Mr. Turk did an outstanding job.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, he's almost as good on the air as he is as a screener. But he's got real talent, so it was great.
There you go, Turk. One vote for Turk.
Yep. Hey, the check's in the mail, John. The years ago, my son is now 40. My kids are 40, 38, and 36. And we had to find a pediatrician to take them to. And the pediatrician we chose insisted that we get the immunization shots through his office as opposed to the Well Baby Clinic. It was basically a financial consideration. The Well Baby Clinic was much less expensive. And it got to the point where we had to choose another pediatrician because, I think the money issue is is one of the issues that may be going on here that's, you know, below the radar screen.
So wait, you're saying that you're saying that it's possible that the doctors are prescribing the chemotherapy to make money?
That's possible. I don't know. You know, supposedly, if there's early diagnosis of lymphoma, there's 90 to 95% probability of a cure. Although I don't like the term because I think the cure means that it's done and it's never going to come back again.
Right. Well, look, let me just say this to your point about the profit motive. You know, I think, and I'll admit my biases here. I come from a family of a couple of doctors. I don't think doctors make decisions like this based on the profit motive. I really don't. In the individual situation, I just don't think that happens. I mean, you can maybe point out a tiny number of examples. I just don't think that happens often in a situation like this. I do think, though, that medical doctors oftentimes downplay the efficacy of alternative treatments, that they've been trained one way and they don't very much like alternative treatments. That is definitely true, and I've got a problem with that as well. Thanks for the call. 656, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll take more of your calls. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Dave, we got a serious situation in Aurora. Rollover accident southbound 225 near Colfax. Now, they have shut down southbound side of the interstate there from I-70 to Colfax. Ramps from east and westbound I-70 southbound 225 are shut down as well. So you people trying to get out of Aurora going to be looking for alternates this morning. Also, stop and go southbound I-25 around downtown Denver, and still working this crash at Islip and Havana. Your forecast, mostly sunny skies to start the day. Late afternoon, gusty storms, possible lightning storms as well. Our high is going to be around 91 right now, 55 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Not covered by a dental plan? Now you can be for as low as $6.25 a month, thanks to Perfect Teeth. Visit or call one of their convenient locations today. Now's the perfect time for Perfect Teeth. Learn more at PerfectTeethDentalPlan.com. That's PerfectTeethDentalPlan.com.
You know, there's never a good time for a major plumbing problem. You always want to...
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head to head one final time.
Here we go!
Then it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave. Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman here to tell you about Independent Power Systems, a proud sponsor of AM 760 Radio. The solar electric systems installed by Independent Power Systems in 2008 alone prevented 530 tons of carbon dioxide from entering the atmosphere. Do you know that's the equivalent of planting more than 12,000 trees? Independent Power Systems also installed the solar electric system at Coors Field. Independent Power Systems, 303-443-0105, and online at www.solarips.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Going up to 92 degrees today. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Should parents be able to deny their kids life-saving medical treatment? A court in Minnesota says no. What do you think? And should a company be able to patent a human genome or the genome of a disease? Weigh in, 303-713-7600, James, Richard, Nancy, Brad. Hang on, we're going to get the national news and get to your calls.
Are you interested in a dietary intervention that may lower your blood pressure without any medications?
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
D.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedatani. New York City's science teacher Liz Leader still can't believe it.
I think everyone is in shock. It hasn't sunk in yet for so many people.
It hasn't sunk in that popular public school assistant principal Mitchell Weiner was the sixth person in this country to die of the H1N1 swine flu. Dr. Richard Besser of the Centers for Disease Control says more deaths are possible.
There's a perception in many places that this is winding down, and that's not what we're seeing in the United States. We're seeing widespread transmission, and we are still seeing periodic outbreaks in schools.
Weiner is 55 years old and in generally good health, according to family members. Well, human hands are touching the Hubble telescope for the last time. Live to CBS's Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center.
Now they've gotten an early start to spacewalk number 5.
Look out there, Drew. It looks dark.
John Grunsfeld and Drew Feustel will install new batteries and a fine guidance sensor that helps Hubble fine-tune its view into the heavens. They'll also install some new insulation if they have time and energy. Grunsfeld says he's sure they can do it. By the way, his may be the last human hands to touch it. Frank?
A night at the movies was a night to remember.
We were just in Angels and Demons movie and started shaking. The screen started peeling off, parts of the ceiling fell out.
Nature supplied the special effects when a magnitude 4.7 earthquake and its aftershocks rocked the Los Angeles area a little before 9 o'clock last night. Lots of shattered glass, no serious injuries. New laws were supposed to make it easier for inmates who believe they were wrongly accused to get a DNA test that could prove they were innocent. But it doesn't always work out that way. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker, why not?
A determined prosecutor can delay a DNA test for so long that it can be too late to try other possible suspects. The prosecutors say many inmates requesting DNA tests have already been convicted on a wealth of other evidence. Others worry an ambiguous test result could throw a valid conviction into doubt. But the New York Times reports a study of 225 DNA exonerations found prosecutors opposed the testing in 1 out of 5 cases. Frank?
90 minutes from now, President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will shake hands and smile for the cameras. Then they'll get down to business. Columnist Micah Halpern says the White House meeting is sure to get into differences over a proposed Palestinian state.
Obama is going to be pushing on the Palestinian question. It's enormously important for him to create a Palestinian state. Netanyahu is going to push up against that. He's going to say no.
You can't have that. Those four words are teaching a generation of American children what a recession is. Director of Survey Sarah Dutton tells us about a CBS News poll on the children of the recession.
80% of parents told us that the recession is having an impact on their family, including 31% who say that the recession is having a lot of impact on their family.
Just ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are up 7 points. This is CBS News.
Now through May 31st at the Home Depot, buy any Energy Star rated window and you could get a federal tax credit up to $1,500. While waiting for your tax return, start enjoying up to 15% lower energy bills. A nice little deduction in itself. It all starts with an Energy Star tax credit up to $1,500 now through May 31st. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Visit homedepot.com/tax credit or see tax advisor for details.
You know, there's a lot to think about when you're buying a new car. Take the Accord from Honda, for example. It has a higher resale value than any of its competitors. And because of its exceptional engineering, it can mean low maintenance costs. So what's the bottom line? The Accord costs less money over the long term. And that's music to anyone's ears.
Based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership, 2009 Accord, winner of the ALG Residual Value Award, midsize car segment.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. We could see record highs in the Denver area over the next couple of days. Forecasters predicting temperatures in the low 90s today and tomorrow. Summer resort owners are hoping they don't endure the winter travel blahs ski resorts experience this year. Travelocity senior editor Genevieve Brown says Memorial Day for locals means a flight, but not one with a passport.
Denver area residents are heading to Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles in that order.
Brown says cheap airfares are pushing those trips. And a two-year-old Shiba Inu that was taped upside down to a refrigerator during a domestic dispute has been renamed Yoshi and adopted by another family. Yoshi means good luck in Japanese. The dog was placed with the Boulder Valley Humane Society after police discovered the incident in April. He was recently adopted by a couple who owns two other Shiba Inus, society officials told Channel 7 this weekend. And it's the Nuggets and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Game 1 tomorrow night in Los Angeles. The Rockies fell to Pittsburgh yesterday. They are in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Just one big trouble spot. It's a crash in Aurora on the southbound side of 225. It occurred right around Colfax. In fact, 225 closed at I-70 due to this crash, as are the ramps from east and westbound 70. So you're trying to access southbound 225. Now, southbounders on I-25, you're starting to suffer downtown. You're going to be feeling it approaching I-70 towards Spear, where speeds are going to drop into the teens and 20s. Eastbound 6th Avenue loading up Federal to I-25. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Now you can save even more when you shop at King Soopers. They just lowered prices on dozens of the fruits and vegetables you buy most. You'll save more on potatoes, bagged salads, carrots, oranges, and dozens more. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Are you embarrassed about your smile? You can do something about it. At Incredible Smiles, Dr. Lori Kemet blends technology, artistry, and personal care to enhance your smile and improve your dental health. Her team of professionals is known for their cosmetic results. They offer implants to replace missing teeth, fillings, crowns, cleans, partials, as well as dentures. Get your smile back at Incredible Smiles. For a complimentary consultation, call 303-77-SMILE or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're going to reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo right now. We are debating two stories on the wires. First, a judge rules in Minneapolis that a family cannot refuse chemotherapy for a boy, their son, who has a form of cancer that would be, doctors say would be cured, have a 90% cure rate if he took chemotherapy, and would have a 5% cure rate and a 95% death rate if he doesn't take chemotherapy. The judge rules that the family denying him chemotherapy based on their religious and other beliefs is medically neglectful. What do you think? 303-713-7600. And then the ACLU is suing Myriad Genetics and trying to push for a court injunction on a Myriad Genetics patent request. It's trying to patent the genome code of a form of breast cancer, which it has studied the form of breast cancer. It came up with the genetic code that it believes is the code that creates this this disease. The company's trying to patent the code so it can study a cure for it and then basically have monopoly control of the whatever drug or curative treatment they come up with so as to make lots of money. Should a company be able to patent a genome of a disease afflicting humans, of a human genome? Should genomes be able to be patents? If not, where's the economic incentive for companies to research these genes? Right? The whole argument for patents is that if you let a company patent something that it discovers, you create an economic incentive for companies in the private sector to research things because there's a potential monopoly at the end. And monopolies, as we all know, can create huge profits. Look at the drug industry as just one example of that. When they patent a drug and they have monopoly control over that drug, they can make huge profits off that. 303-713-7600. What do you think on these two issues? Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Nancy in Lakewood. Nancy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
Okay, I agree with the judge and the kid. And here's why. I think if you're going to sentence Jack Kevorkian to jail time for essentially doing the same thing, why wouldn't, you know, why would you let the parents get away with it?
Well, Kevorkian,
does that make sense?
Kevorkian's not doing the same thing. I mean, Kevorkian, and the distinction is that Kevorkian is dealing with adults.
Sure, and Kevorkian is, but they're not letting the adults make the decision for themselves, correct? I mean, the adult is trying to hire Kevorkian to do essentially the same thing this kid is asking to do. He's saying,
well, that's right. Although, yes, you're right and wrong. I mean, what I'm saying is that Kevorkian is dealing with adults who the court would not be able to say. Let me step back here. The court in this case is saying that the child has only, quote, a rudimentary understanding at best of the risks and benefits of chemotherapy. He does not, for instance, believe he is ill currently. The fact is that he is currently very ill. So what the court is saying is, look, this kid doesn't have the cognitive ability. He's 13 years old. He doesn't have the cognitive ability to understand the implications of his decisions. Now, Kevorkian is dealing with people who are different. Kevorkian is dealing with adults who a court could never really say only has a rudimentary understanding of what they're facing.
Right.
So, and I sympathize with Kevorkian. Right. I mean, I think, you know, if people want to make rational decisions about this, adults want to make decisions about, you know, end-of-life decisions, they should be able to make those decisions. This is a different situation where you're dealing with a child, and this is why I said it before the break, you know, what the child really says he wants is less important. I'm not saying it's unimportant, but it's less important to me,
right,
than whether the parents should have the right to make life or death decisions against science.
Against science, yeah. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying every avenue. You know, East and West work together just fine in a lot of instances.
No, that's right. That's right. Alternative medicine many times alternative medicine isn't, it's not an either or situation.
No, it's not. It's done in, I mean, the people that I know that have gone through it do both.
Right. And I want to be clear. I mean, I come from a family of doctors. I think if I have one mild criticism of the medical profession on an issue like this, is that that doctors are trained one way and they tend to downplay alternative therapies. American doctors, for instance, tend to downplay Eastern therapies, and I think that's a little bit short-sighted. And certainly not all doctors, but there's this inclination of, like, look, I know what I learned in medical school, and everything else is hogwash, and I think that's a little too much. However, in this case where you have doctors saying that Daniel's cancer had a 90% chance of being cured with chemo and radiation, and without those treatments, doctors said his chances of survival are 5%, I also simultaneously trust that that's not hogwash, that that's real, that that's true, that that's based on science.
I completely agree.
But then where do you draw the line? You know, where do you say...
I do draw the line with the child involved here. I do that. But had the judge made the decision in the other direction, had the judge said it's okay for the parents to allow the children, the child in this case, to do this, then I would have seriously asked the question, then why is it not okay for an adult to make that decision for himself, where, like, the Kevorkian instance was concerned?
Well, that's right. That's
so,
right.
In my case, I do draw the line with the child. It is a child. Now, then the question is going to be, well, who's a child and who's not? But that's a decision that's been made.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying that if this was, let's say, a 25-year-old who said, I'm not taking chemo.
Right.
That's it. It's up to the.
And his parents would have tried to step in and say, hey, this is a thriving 25-year-old.
Right.
He has a great big life ahead of him. We want to stop this from happening.
Right, right. So you're saying once you're an adult, you should be able to make all of the decisions.
Sure.
So then the question is, all right, when you're not an adult, when you're a minor,
mm-hmm.
who gets to make the decisions, and by what metrics are those decisions, what parameters are those decisions governed by? Right? I mean, that's ultimately the question. What is the parent, what are the parents allowed to decide and not allowed to decide? Because we're basically stipulating that the child cannot decide.
Right, exactly. But I don't think that necessarily in this case, especially, that the parents should be able to say, let the kid do what he wants. That's not right. But I also don't agree with people who don't take Western medicine based on their religion either. I don't agree with that either.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I should be able to say, you know, my religion says X, so therefore I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, this is really, how do you define neglectful? That's the question. How do you define neglectful? Hey, thanks for the call. 714, I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Going up into the 90s today, so get ready to get your sandals and your tank top on. It's not just a sandals day, it's a tank top day. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. Do you think the judge in Minneapolis should have said that a family cannot deny their child chemotherapy based on their religious beliefs, or even based on the fact that the kid doesn't want chemotherapy? Should the government, should the state, child welfare services, etc., be able to mandate that in a life or death situation, a child must get the medical therapies necessary to, the doctors say are necessary to stay alive? 303-713-7600. It's a tough question. It's a really tough question. Richard in Denver, what do you think?
Good morning, David. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
And I also want to send my love out to J. Marvin. Hope to...
All of our thoughts and prayers are with him.
Yes. Well, you know, David, I'm a little surprised at the position you're taking. It's a little ambiguous. I know you're framing the discussion that way. But,
well, I'm not trying to be evasive. I genuinely don't know how I feel about it.
Well, I'm a progressive. I think that freedom of choice is paramount for control over those kind of decisions in our own lives. And I don't want the government telling me that I need to have chemotherapy. You know, 2 weeks ago I saw a program on Frontline about these chemotherapy centered in Las Vegas, Nevada, shut down because of no funding. And there's nobody filing lawsuits saying that you must give. These people were begging for treatment. And even the doctors that were running the facility were donating a part of their salary to some of these individuals that have been there for and doing well. But many of them were left without any treatment at all. And the state says, okay, you know, you don't have the funds, you can shut down. And there's not any stink about that. So this idea that, you know, oh, it's a child, we got to, you know, do something for the child. Let the choice lies with the family, the parents, and it's a family matter. And that's their legal guardian responsibility. This child's not a ward of the state.
Well, I want to be clear. I mean, you have to separate out the different issues here. We're not talking about individual personal freedom, because the child. We're talking about a child. We're not talking about an adult and their individual personal right to die, their personal right to decide what their medical therapies are. We're talking about a situation that is inherently one set of human beings making a choice for another set of human beings because it's a child. So we have to separate that out. I am completely agree that somebody, an individual making decisions for themselves, an adult, should be able to make whatever decisions that they want in terms of their own health care.
It's a family matter.
It is a family matter, except you get into a situation where the parents are making a decision that vastly increases the likelihood that the child will die.
And what What is wrong with that option?
What's wrong with that?
Yes.
Well, the child, maybe the child doesn't, maybe the child doesn't want to die, right? And the child is relying on people who may not be concerned about whether he'll
die.
All
right, but David, the outcome of all this is that they're going to force the kid to take chemotherapy, you know, government ordered. They're going to jail the parents for...
Well, they're not going to... I haven't read that they're going to jail the parents.
Well, I mean, well, if it's neglect, it's neglect, isn't it?
Well, there's a court order that the kid has to get a chest x-ray to see where the cancer is. Let's take the hypothetical all the way out. The government says the kid has to get chemotherapy. And what I'm saying is, let's say then the kid lives and he would have died without it. He lives a full life. He has kids. You know, he has a whole full life. You know, had a different decision been made, that entire life and the life of his potential offspring may never have actually happened because we said, hey, the parents can choose to do whatever they want.
All right. I don't believe that this is coming from the force of humanitarian treatment for this child, the way you're framing it, you know, the way it's framed in the media. It is purely, if there was no funding, like in Nevada, these people would not get any treatment. And there are children there, too.
So I don't understand. What are you saying that it's motivated by?
Well, do you know, if you don't have any money, they don't really provide much advocacy for you. You know, and that's...
You're not being clear about what you think the motive is here of the state. What do you think the state's motive is other than the welfare of the child?
The state control. I mean, it's control over us as individuals.
Okay, but what does that have to do with money?
Because that's the only avenue for that's the only avenue that's open for individuals is if you have insurance.
Okay, I just think you're disaggregating a bunch of different points here. You're saying it's the state wants to have control and somehow it has to do with money or something. I mean, I can't follow your argument. I mean, I definitely think that the state is acting out of the desire to protect the child's welfare. I don't think there's a big government conspiracy here. I think there's an actual ethical question. And I don't think it has to do with the profit motive of the doctors. It's a genuine ethical question, and that's why the AM760 Progressive Dojo is open, because it's not a right or wrong answer. This is a really, really difficult issue. Thanks for the call. 722, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Should the government be able to tell parents or step in and prevent parents from denying life-saving medical coverage and medical care, medical treatments to their kids? Is that the right role of the government? What is medically neglectful behavior by a parent? And should a company be able to patent a genome, a human genome, a genome of a disease that afflicts humans? That's what one company's trying to do. The ACLU is suing them, saying, no, you should not be able to patent a genome, something so, well, genetic in nature. 303-713-7600. What do you think? I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. It's going up to 92 degrees today. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, they're still working this crash. Rollover southbound 225 at Colfax. Only one lane is open on the ramp from eastbound I-70 to southbound 225. Really jammed there. Speeds in the single digits from 70 all the way past the site of that crash. You may want to use Peoria or Chambers as your alternate route this morning. Also stop and go southbound I-25, North Glen 120th is where it all starts. Down to 84th is where it'll bust loose briefly. And then more jams closer to downtown around I-70. Eastbound I-70 also really full there from 270 up to 225. That's because of that site there in Aurora, southbound 225 at Colfax. Forecast, mostly sunny, a high of 91. Just a couple off our record of 93 set in 1996. Possible late afternoon lightning storms, but little rain, if any, expected. Right now, 58 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new every...
Fox Tuesday, on the American Idol season finale, two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go!
Then, it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave, Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
PC, assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
Say goodbye to rush hour traffic with TomTom's unique IQ Routes technology. Unlike ordinary GPS devices, TomTom uses actual drive times to find you the fastest way to get anywhere, at any time. TomTom, go confidently.
AM 760 and Pianos and Pianos ask you, is it Joel?
Piano man.
John?
Rockin' man.
Or George. Guess correctly, and you could win a brand new piano. Listen to Mario's show this week for a chance to win a Kurzweil digital piano and 8 weeks of lessons. Mario plays the song, tell us if it's by Billy Joel, Elton John, or George Winston. Then, you're qualified to win. More details on AM760.net.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Welcome to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. We are open, debating, sparring about whether a judge in Minneapolis should be able to rule that parents are being medically neglectful, that's his term, by denying their child chemotherapy. Doctors say this child would have a 90% chance of surviving his cancer if he took chemotherapy and a 5% chance of surviving if he doesn't. The parents are basically saying that the child shouldn't take chemotherapy based on their religious beliefs. They want him to have alternative therapies. The kid, for his part, says he doesn't enjoy. He took one chemotherapy session, says he doesn't like it, doesn't want it. Are they being medically neglectful? 303-713-7600. And the ACLU is filing an injunction to try to block a company from being able to patent the genome code of a form of breast cancer. This company had been studying this breast cancer, basically genetically mapped it, wants to patent it as it now researches a potential cure. The idea being that if they find that potential cure, they will have a monopoly on the cure and be able to make lots of money. Should a genome, a human genome or a disease genome, be able to be patented? 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to James in Longmont. James.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing well.
Well, I love listening to you in the morning, but I give all of my thoughts to Jay. I hope he recovers very quickly.
Us too. I think he's doing a little bit better.
That's great. Well, you've been touching on a subject that in the medical field we study and tear ourselves apart with on a daily basis. You're talking about medical ethics. Basically, you're looking at choice. At this time, when we have a patient come into the hospital, we have them a few questions that we ask them. Did they have a durable power of attorney where they can go ahead and put down in writing what their wishes are? We also ask them if they have reasons, religious or other, if they would like to refuse blood products, if it would save their life. Whether you're a Scientologist, Seventh-day Adventist, doesn't matter what you are, you have these certain rights. However, these can be taken away from you, as described and very well documented in the Terri Schiavo case. What we're looking at is the idea of choice. This isn't a conflict that we have all the time, where we know that we can help somebody, however, for whatever reasons they have, they decide not to. Children being immunized, we still barely hold on to the right to not have a child to be immunized by signing off, but it's becoming difficult and more difficult all the time. So this is all about choice, difficult choices, that there is no right or wrong answer. Everybody must battle with it in their own mind. Realize that you
right.
are
the,
one step away.
The issue also, is, though, as a matter of public policy. How does public policy deal with it?
Well, public policy, depending on what political side you sit on, sits in different arenas, as in the Terri Schiavo case. At what time does your advocate, your surrogate, have control? And who is your surrogate? Because you may have been an adult that had all of your faculties about you at one time, and now you don't. The idea that this poor child, I hope that he gains wellness again one way or the other. However, let's just say he was an adult that is suddenly told that you have terminal cancer, but you have a chance of survival with a certain treatment. Is he within his faculties at that point? He's just been told that he will die if he does not get. Can he make that choice himself? He is no longer the same capacity before he was told that he has a possible terminal illness. You take that choice away from him.
Well, why does he not have the capacity after if he was an adult?
Because psychologically, once you're told something, it changes your psychology.
Well, that's true. I don't know if it incapacitates you, though.
I've seen it incapacitate many a person that can no longer make their own decisions, and they look to others to make them for them in this exact scenario. But you are one step away from, okay, well, if it's all about the child, if we use the emotional aspect of this argument, that it is the child. I've seen interviews with this kid, and he seems to be very well-centered, and he seems like he knows what's going on around him. But aside from that, okay, so it's a child. You are one step away from also having the abortionists and the pro-choicers have precedented groundwork to take their argument further. That is for sure.
Well, I don't. How does this relate to abortion?
Because the child can't make his own decisions, and the parents shouldn't, because somebody's beliefs say that, well, this child would definitely live if we didn't perform the abortion.
Yeah, I see it. I see the connection. I definitely see the connection.
So it's all about choice. Do you actually have freedom of the one thing? If there's you can be taxed, a lot of different things can happen to you in this world, but there should be one thing only that you have the right to make decisions over, and that is your own body. If you take away that one right, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, although, again, I want to be clear that I think we're stipulating that, and maybe you're not, but it's my belief that if you stipulate that a child cannot make fully decisions of their own choices like this, I mean, we can't expect an infant, for instance, to make a choice about whether they want to eat or whether they don't want to eat, or whether they should take an immunization or not, or whether they should have a medical therapy, right? I mean, let's say a one-year-old can't make a decision.
We do allow the parents to go ahead and make that.
Okay, right. So it is about the parents. We can agree on that. It is about the parents. What should the parents be allowed to decide, and what shouldn't they be allowed to decide? Or
and also by extension, if somebody puts somebody as a power of attorney.
Right. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Sorry. So the question is, what governs those decisions? Anything? Are there any parameters? Should there be any parameters to what they can and cannot decide? And if there are going to be parameters, what are they? Then that's the fundamental question here: is what is medically neglectful? You know, cancer in a situation where he's got a 90% survival rate if he does this therapy, or a 5% survival rate if he doesn't. That's a pretty pristine example of a pretty pure example of a life or death decision.
So at
right
what...
now we have it where you decide for your child if within the surgery, if the child was to need blood products to go ahead and absolutely save his life. And you have the option of, for religious or other reasons, it doesn't have to be documented. You say no, and that cannot be breached. Even though the statistics will say that in a given situation, you have a 99% chance of survival just by getting blood products.
Right. Okay, so that's another example. Right.
So it all comes down to the idea of choice. Do you actually have choice, or is it just a facade? You need to go ahead and decide that first.
Well, I mean...
If you have choice, then everybody else needs to back away.
Well, yeah, except, all right, but then you can take it out of the medical realm, right, and say, well, let's say a parent thinks that it's the right way to discipline a child to whip them and to, you know, or to cut them with a knife, let's just say. Well, should the parent have to be able to have the choice of that?
No, definitely not.
Why? What if the parent says, look, it's my belief that this is the best way to discipline a child?
Well, because we've defined that as abuse. We've defined that as
right, but
battery,
okay, but I, what I'm trying to say is that we're getting to that's the same question. It's the same question. Where does what we have decided as a society that there are parameters?
Well, actually, it's not the same thing because in one aspect you're saying we are going to do something, and is that wrong? The other is to withhold.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to play semantics, it's behavioral. It's a certain kind of behavior. We're saying one kind of behavior is not acceptable. We don't know where we stand on another kind of behavior. My point is that. We're always having these debates, right? I mean, a parent could come in front of a court and say, listen, it's my religious belief, or it's my, whatever, it's religious belief. It's my belief that the best way to discipline a child is to lash them with a whip, right? I mean, you know, the court would say that's abuse. And the parent is now saying, look, it's my belief that that chemotherapy is not good for the child. We don't want it. This is all within the realm of where does what, how far should and can the state go in creating parameters for parental decision making? And I don't think there is a right or wrong answer in this. And as I said, you know, a couple.
It's rare that there is a right or wrong answer. However, many times, I mean, if you've ever seen somebody go through chemotherapy and radiation, some may argue that it is abuse.
Well, you're right, I don't disagree with that. I guess my point is here. A couple callers ago, the caller said, well, he was uncomfortable with the fact that I seem to be being evasive. I'm not being evasive. I don't really know how I feel about this. And you know what? I think as a society, it's a lot more honest for us to acknowledge that these are tough issues and we have to debate them out and people might not know exactly where they stand all the time. You know, I know if you're looking for radio, I'm not saying you, but if folks are looking for radio where every single issue you want some blowtorch on the right or left to tell you exactly how they feel and that their feelings have absolutely no nuance at all, and you're listening to the wrong, well, you're at least listening to the wrong host, because that's not who I am. I'll admit to you, when I'm trying to debate these things out, I'm wrestling with these things on my own. We all got to wrestle with issues like this, I think, and not try to rush Limbaugh-ize them and pretend like it's such a cut-and-dry issue. Hey, thanks for the call. 737, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's going up to 92 degrees today. Question of the morning. Should a judge be able to rule that parents are being medically neglectful by denying their child chemotherapy based on their religious beliefs, even though that chemotherapy would offer the child a 90% chance of survival of cancer, and without it, only a 5% chance of survival? And should a company be able to patent a genome? One company has patented, or is trying to patent, a breast cancer genome as it searches for the cure for that breast cancer. It's trying to patent it in order to monopolize the research on it so as to ultimately make a lot of money off this. Do you think that should be allowed? The ACLU is filing an injunction trying to stop it. What do you think? 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. So we'll get to your calls, 303-713-7600. We'll get to your calls after we get a traffic update with John Turk.
Still working this crash, a rollover on southbound 2 1/4 near Colfax. Just one lane is getting through there, or is actually even open from the ramp eastbound I-70 to southbound 225. That drive on eastbound 70 now really full, 270 all the way up to I-225. May want to use Peoria or Chambers as your alternate if you're trying to get out of Aurora. Also busy westbound I-70 there from Airport Boulevard to I-225. So as you can tell, this thing is really messing things up east of downtown. Southbound 25 also stop and go, 120th to 84th, again from about 58th past Spear Boulevard. Also starting to really stack up on the turnpike westbound Sheridan to Wadsworth. Your forecast, mostly sunny skies to start the day, but late this afternoon, gusty storms may move into the front range, bringing a few clouds, gusty winds, and perhaps a lot of lightning, but a little rain. Look for highs in the low 90s. We could break our record of 93. Right now, 58 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If healthy plants and beautiful flowers are what you want, then Eco Compost is what you need. You've tried the rest, now use the best. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM 760.
Why just talk about climate change? Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home 4 times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems, a winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at Coloradco.com.
Planting some trees this spring? Choose the right nursery. Creekside Tree Nursery in Boulder. Since 1993, family-owned Creekside Tree Nursery has been offering customers superior quality trees, a solid warranty, outstanding customer service, and prices below their competition. Well worth a small drive to Boulder for this kind of quality and value if you live in Denver. No fancy sales, no gimmicks, just bigger, better trees. Creekside Tree Nursery. Visit us at creeksideboulder.com.
HomeDepot.com/tax credit or see tax advisor for details.
Ma'am, I need you to slow down and tell me exactly what you saw.
Okay, officer. Well, he had these crazy huge eyes, and they just stared at me.
Uh-huh. About how tall?
About 3 inches high, 6 inches wide. I think he was made of money, and he just stared.
Ma'am, that was the money you could be saving with Geico.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear this music when you saw him?
Yes!
Have a good day, ma'am.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. We're talking about whether a judge should be able to say that a parent's decision to effectively block their child from getting chemotherapy based on their religious beliefs, whether that's medically neglectful. Should the judge be able to say it's medically neglectful and order the chemotherapy? And should a company be able to patent a genome? One company is trying to patent a genome code for a breast cancer strain that they found in order to essentially try to monopolize the research around that breast cancer and ultimately the cure for it and make a lot of money. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Okay, Turk, has your thinking on this changed at all?
Not really. My thinking still kind of that should be, well, I know your kids don't have advocates, but I think it should be up to the family.
So you think you're siding with the parents in this?
I'm going to side with the parents in this one. I know that's
90% to 5%.
90% to 5%?
Remember, 90% chance of survival if the kid takes chemotherapy, 5% chance of survival if they don't take chemotherapy. And you think it should be completely up to the parents to say yes or no?
I do.
Sentencing the kid to death, probably, right?
Is it a sentencing to death?
I mean, basically, right?
I don't know if it is.
I mean, basically? 5%?
You know, I'm not a big trust of the AMA like a couple of our other callers.
So you're suspicious of those numbers?
I am suspicious of those numbers, yes.
All right.
I mean, I'm not a true believer in holistic medicine and alternative medicine, but, you know, like a caller brought up earlier, there are profits to be made for medicine.
Oh, come on, man.
I know you don't agree with that. You're
there are profits to be made, but you really think, let me get this straight, you really think that the doctors are like, get chemotherapy, kid, because we want to make money?
No. I'm not saying due to this specific case, but I'm just telling you I don't trust the AMA 100%.
Well, it's not the AMA. A lot of doctors don't trust the AMA 100%.
Right. Well, I'm just telling you, I side with the parents on this one. If they want to use their kind of, use something else, let them do it. I don't know how you can step in and say, we're taking away your rights as parents.
Yeah, but then what about the issue of abuse? What about a parent saying, all right, I think the best way to discipline my kid is to
waterboarding?
Is to waterboard them. I mean, really, it's the same issue, right?
Yeah. You know how to bring up all the important questions, Dave, and you make people, you know, think about what they're...
Right, like where is the limit? If a parent should be able to decide life or death medical therapies, okay, then shouldn't the parent be able to say, all right, I think it's the best way to discipline my child is to every time that they don't take out the trash when they're asked to do so, they get waterboarded.
If the gotta disagree with that one. I don't think you just waterboard your kids. But I don't think that necessarily his kids are sentencing them to death, David. I mean, that's an opinion by medical professionals.
I mean, dude, come on. Some medical. Yeah, all right, I'll go all the way up
you're
to where I'm willing to go.
You're from a doctor's family, though, Dave. Okay.
Is willing to substantially increase the possibility of death. How about that? Substantially increase the possibility
maybe
of death.
Maybe the chemo is making him sicker. You know, I just got done watching the whole Farrah Fawcett thing, a two-hour special on it.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it. Is that what comes out of it?
It's brutal.
It is brutal.
You know, and if the parents say they don't want it, the kid doesn't want it. And
if the
kid wants to die.
If you got gangrene on your arm and they got to cut your arm off, it's getting your arm cut off is brutal too. But like, if you don't cut it off, you're gonna die.
Right. Well, thank you for making me critically think about this one, but I still kind of
sticking
to my guns.
All right.
I don't know how to put it succinctly so I could, you know.
No,
I make sense of it. I just think that, you know, in this case, it should be up to the parents.
I'm not trying to crucify you here about this.
If the kid and the parents both say no, then how can you force medical attention to it?
I definitely see that side of the argument. I want to be really clear. You know, some people get real uncomfortable when somebody doesn't take a position or they're wrestling with it. This is a tough issue, and I don't know where I come down on it. It's really, really difficult. I actually tend to side with the parents, but think that there needs to be some baseline form, some baseline parameters.
Right, there needs to be parameters.
But you're saying you just don't buy the 90% thing. You're just going down the doctors. I don't trust them.
I'm not saying I don't trust all doctors. I haven't found a personal doctor I trust. Every primary physician I've ever had stinks.
Really?
Yeah. The one I did like, I only had it for about 3 months, right, and then she went out of business.
I'm going to see if I can get my brother to come in tomorrow. He's a hospitalist. Maybe he can recommend you a personal doctor. All right, let's get back to the phones. 303-713-7600. Let's get your take here. Let's go to Zach and Greeley. Zach.
Yes, sir.
Hey there.
Hey, guys. Love the show, by the way.
Thanks.
I think you guys are both doing a great job.
Thanks.
All right, so I'm gonna bring up two really small issues first. Same thing, but just bear with me while I'm going places with it. When I was in high school, I went to a religious private high school. And when we played another fundamentalist religious high school, they made all of our coaches and support staff, you know, like trainers and that kind of thing, sign a contract saying that they would not intervene if there was any kind of medical emergency because they didn't believe that it was right.
They made your coaches?
Yeah, because if their guys aren't going to do anything, obviously our coaches and trainers are going to want to go out there and do something.
Oh, so your coaches couldn't go out and help the other team?
Correct. I mean, they could still help our team.
Right,
our
they
team
couldn't help the other team. Okay, I got it.
Could not help the other team. All right, so we had a pretty decent-sized team. This was a small school. A kid broke his leg. Like, the thing is hanging out. You know, he got high load.
Compound fracture style.
I mean, out of the skin.
Right, bone like, coming out of the skin.
Like, this was nasty. Like, I was right there when it opened up. And, I mean, all of us are freaking out, like, you know, call an ambulance. Like, this guy is bleeding, like, profusely all over the field. And they're like, do not touch him. You know, the other team, like, came out within 5 feet of him. And we're like, do not touch this kid.
Wow.
And we're like, no. And a bunch of our parents called an ambulance. The ambulance came and picked him up, and they went to the hospital. And we found out later, one of my buddies was a friend with the kid. They dropped out of that school. I mean, the kid could have died, you know.
The kid definitely could have died.
He could have bled to death. He could have gone into shock. There's tons of stuff. And, like, I'm religious myself. Like, I have a very, very strong belief. Nowhere in the Bible does it say at any point that it's bad to take medicine. God is even referred to as the great physician, you know, and that if you're going to be someone who works on that you need to do the utmost and most highest of your ability to heal these people. And I just think that's completely wrong.
Like, I mean, the kid would have died.
The kid would have died. And they did nothing. I mean, they were going to make this kid crawl off the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great example. I mean, like, I'm going back to Turk on this. Sorry, Turk, I'm picking on you right now. But what if a kid gets a giant compound fracture in their leg? They're going to die on the field unless they get medical attention. The parent comes running out and says, no, I'm this religion, and I don't think my kid can get medical attention. The kid is literally going to die. Literally going to die.
What are emergency responders going to say? Sorry, you have no say in this one. We're taking your kid to the hospital?
Well, that's the question.
That's their job, though. I mean, that's their job. And are they not thinking clearly? I mean, seriously, like, this kid was trying to crawl his way off the field screaming for his parents. You know, I mean, his leg is hanging out.
He's going to die. He's like a 15, 16-year-old. He's going to die. Turk, you're still of the belief. Parent says, wants to die, let him die.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to say yeah.
All right. Well, all right. Let me ask this question.
Hugely unpopular, but right, sure.
Let me ask one more question.
Let me throw one more wrinkle in. I know you're the parents, but I'm sorry. We're going to just take him from you.
All right. One more wrinkle. Let me throw a wrinkle in then. If the kid, a minor, 15-year-old, say, says, no, I want medical attention.
And the parent says,
no, it's our belief.
I'm taking him to the hospital.
Now you think the state can jump in. If the kid says he wants it.
We talk about kids having First Amendment rights, so yeah. When we talk about that, I mean, what's the difference between, I mean, when does a kid have a right to make up his own decision?
Yeah, but then what if it's like an infant?
You have kids that are 13 serving life on parole, you know, life without parole.
A two-year-old? A two-year-old can't decide that.
Right. Well, then you got to go with what the parents say.
So then it's just up to the parents. Okay. All right.
I know, I'm probably not making a lot of sense to you guys, but this is...
No, you're not, you know, I'm just putting you on the spot.
Why do people need to make decisions for us? I'm sick of that, Dave.
Maybe I'm being the weak one, I'm just putting it all off on Turk.
I don't know, you can be progressive, but at the same time, then you're being heartless, though. It's like, if I'm here to help people, which I think most of us lefties would consider that's why we're here, you know, I mean, we're not, all of us are social beings, so... Why would we automatically just say, all right, well, that's you. So I'm just going to, I mean, me, myself, like, if I had sat there and not done anything, like, I couldn't have lived with myself. I mean,
right. The guy might have died.
It's not your choice to make, though.
It was like, you know, a Lifetime movie. The kid is screaming for his parents, crawling through the grass to try to get to the sideline.
It's not your choice to make, though, for the kid.
And wait, let me ask this question. Did the kid want medical attention or no?
Yeah, he was like, please help me.
Oh, he wanted medical. All right, so Turk would have weighed in and said, parents, out of the way, the kid wants the medical attention.
Yep.
Right. But, I mean, even if he hadn't, like, are you okay just to sit there and watch somebody bleed to death 10 feet from you playing a football game? You know, like, I wasn't okay with that. Like,
I know.
I'm sitting on the field watching this kid like I
That's a tough issue, man. It's definitely tough. Hey, Zach, thanks for the call, man.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
752, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. It's getting heated in here. Turk and I are about to come to fisticuffs. No, just kidding.
Not at all.
If we do come to fisticuffs, then I get a compound fracture.
No, it's tricky, man. I mean, I'm like I said, I started the hour on the fence, but I'm kind of...
You're moving off the fence. All right, everyone tell us where you are on the fence. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update.
Crash, rollover southbound 225 around Colfax. It's been around for about an hour, still causing single-digit speeds all the way back where it begins at I-70. Both approaches to 225 also sluggish there. Westbounders from airport to 225, and eastbounders going to hit the brakes around 270. Also speeds in the 20s, southbound 25 up at North Bend. Again, after 58th, approaching downtown. Also busy westbound 270, I-70 to York, stop and go there. Same deal, turnpike. Westbound side, Sheridan to Wadsworth. A couple of side street issues. Woman having a baby in a vehicle on Florida just east of Federal. Maybe she doesn't want to have be taken to the hospital. She'll just have it there on the side of the road. Also got a head-on accident. 72nd Indiana. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If healthy plants and beautiful flowers are what you want, then Eco All-Purpose Potting Mix is what you need. You've tried the rest, now use the best. Eco is all you need to grow. Visit richlawn.com to learn more and to locate a dealer near you.
Time to take the camera down to the you-know-what to see if there's any problems.
I just had that.
Not you, the drain. Drain Solvers checks the sewer pipes for just $79.
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go.
Then it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave. Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
Oakridge.com. All right, last week we had a lot of up and down economic data. Markets were kind of all over the place. So, Mike, where are we today? What should we expect this week?
Well, the markets ended in down territory after all was said and done last week, David. And that was unusual because the markets have been really correcting off of what we hope is the bottom. But the Dow was down 3.6% last week, NASDAQ down 3.2%, S&P down 5%, and the Russell down 7% last week. This week we are reversing that direction, David, I'm happy to announce. So you don't have to slap me through the phone and say, give me some good news. We can really give it to you. The Dow is up 115 right now. The NASDAQ's up a little over 19. The S&P's up a little over 11. And the Marvin, sometimes called Russell, is up a little over 8. So a good start to the week. Tomorrow we get building permits. And building permits that have been pulled to tell us maybe if our real estate has bottomed out and is coming back. So we've got some ideas as to how to participate in this market, too. So give us a holler.
303-749-2770. Again, 303-749-2770. www.presidentialbrokerage. Do not sit there with your money and just hope that it's going to get better. You got to make the right investments. 303-749-2770. Give Mike a call. He's the vice president of Presidential Brokerage, www.presidentialbrokerage. Hey, thanks for the update, Mike. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, David. I look forward to it. Thanks.
The Lodge Casino is your place for winning and great dining. Enjoy scrumptious choices at the all-you-can-eat Seasons Buffet. Plus, you can always count on playing the newest, most exciting games available. Log on to AM760.net right now for your chance to win a free night's stay and dinner certificates from the Lodge.
.756 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. And filling in for John Turk, who did a kick-ass job last week. Let's go back to the phones. Doug in Westminster. Doug.
Sensei Sirota.
Hey, man.
I want to talk about that patent thing that you...
Yeah. Should a company be able to patent a disease's genome or a human genome?
All right, this is stupid as usual. Coming from me, but I watched an episode of Boston Legal a few weeks ago, of the reruns.
All right.
I don't know if you ever caught any of them.
I've caught a couple of them, yeah.
One guy comes in and says, goes to court and says, I want to patent my blood, and the fact that I signed off on a piece of paper before that stating that they could use my blood and tissue for medical use gave the doctors the absolute right to take his blood from him and patent it. And the court issue was the government versus this guy. And the guy lost because he had simply signed this form.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that gives the government the right to go ahead and patent this so-called blood that will stop the AIDS virus. And that could happen here. You know, it really could. They could powerhouse the patent thing because pharmaceutical, hey, they basically do what they want anyway.
Well, that's right. I worry about, I mean, I really worry about overuse of patents, especially in the medical field. I mean, we've seen the downside of this, you know, companies extending their patents for life-saving
right.
drugs, and then they charge incredibly inflated prices for those drugs, denying people the medicines they need. And in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, remember, a lot of the basic research to get to what is being patented is funded by the taxpayers.
Yes, it is.
And so that means we're getting ripped off. Hey, Doug, I got to get the national news. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Go get him.
All right, 7:58. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll get to more of your calls after the national news.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the banquet.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a credit report is like an appetizer, just the first part of something good. But if you didn't order it from Identity Guard, you may discover that there's no more food showing up. You see, with Identity Guard, you get an entire banquet of 21st century tools and technologies. All this from the company that's already protected over 20 million people. And that's a lot of money not going into the hands of worldwide identity thieves. So, get Identity Guard today and settle in for a feast of identity theft protection.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
News, I'm Frank Sedapani. President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu get together for the first time within the hour. Former State Department official Aaron David Miller says the White House meeting will give each leader a chance to take the other's measure.
Can they establish a measure of trust and confidence? That's the critically important piece of this meeting.
I'm Bill Plant at the White House. President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu come to this meeting with competing agendas, and the stakes are very high. The Obama administration wants dialogue with Iran and Syria, and it also wants a two-state solution, a state for the Palestinians. The new Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, is much more concerned about Iran and wants to put off peacemaking with the Palestinians.
A New York City public school assistant principal has become the sixth person in this country to die of the H1N1 swine flu. Public health experts say that shows the flu outbreak is still a serious threat.
What's interesting this time is that we're going into the spring warmer months, and we don't typically see influenza in this type of weather.
CBS's Dr. Jennifer Ashton. The final spacewalk of the Atlantis shuttle mission is underway. Live to CBS News correspondent Peter King. What's the latest, Peter?
Well, they started an hour early. They're running way ahead of time, and from time to time enjoying the view.
What a beautiful spaceship we're on, guys. Can I include you, Megan?
I'd be included, John.
Guys and gal. I meant that inclusively.
John Grunsfeld and Drew Feustel have already installed the last set of new batteries for the Hubble telescope. Mission Control says they work. Now it's on to the fine guidance sensor that fine-tunes Hubble's view of the universe. Frank?
The criminal investigation into Bernard Madoff's $65 billion Ponzi scheme is branching out in a new direction. Wall Street Journal reporter Amir Afrahi tells us it now includes more than half a dozen of Madoff's high-profile investors.
These men made enormous sums, sometimes 950% in a year or 300% in a year. Certainly they averaged well above the returns for normal investors.
It may be the cost, or it may be that doctors have doubts about the benefits. Whatever the reason, though, the use of antipsychotic drugs to treat children isn't increasing as fast as it had been. Dr. Matthew Keen is with Medco Health Solutions, a leading prescription management company.
There does indeed seem to be a glimmer of hope that the prescriptions for the atypical antipsychotics are slowing, at least in the very young. The trend rate over the past year dropped by about 4%.
The weekend ended with a bang in the Los Angeles area.
It sounded like something exploded first, but it walked a while and it shimmied a while.
It was a moderate earthquake that knocked plates off shelves and blew out glass windows. One person wound up in the hospital. Sri Lankans took to the streets today to celebrate. A bloody 25-year civil war is apparently over after government forces routed Tamil Tiger rebels and killed the rebel leader. The spring rally that seemed to have run out of steam last week may be back in business in early trading on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials are ahead 96 points. This is CBS News.
Did you know just $15 can turn your home into this summer's hotspot? From May 20th till June 7th only, get a Sam's Club summer membership for just $15. And enjoy members-only savings on everything from outdoor grills to USDA choice beef, patio, and everything cool for the pool. For just 15 cents a day, you could pay for the cost of membership in only one trip. Sam's Club $15 summer memberships are good through Labor Day, so hurry. The sooner you join, the longer you save. Join today at Sam's Club or samsclub.com/summer.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado Springs police say an officer shot and killed a man suspected of breaking into a home. Police say the shooting happened after a family reported someone had broken into their garage and into their car. A second suspect was arrested. The economy is taking a bite out of Colorado's taste for elite food. The Aspen Times reports next month's Food and Wine Classic is not sold out. Normally that event fills up in late winter. And we could see record highs in the Denver area over the next couple of days. Forecasters predicting temperatures in the low 90s today and tomorrow. Finally, it gives the value of staying in school a whole new meaning. A Grand Junction senior will drive into her future in a brand new car, courtesy of a local dealership that rewards near-perfect attendance. It's the Nuggets and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Game 1 tips off tomorrow night in L.A., and the Rockies play in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where the worst part of this morning's drive is in Aurora, that due to a rollover accident that occurred on the southbound side of 225 right around Colfax. Now, one lane is kind of just squeezing by, causing bottlenecking. We're also seeing some slowdowns on both approaches to 225 from I-70. Use Chambers or Peoria's alternate routes. That's just a good place to avoid it. It's going to be about another hour and a half to 2 hours before they get that completely out of there. We're also seeing 270 loading up. This is in both directions across Commerce City. Southbound I-25, also a crowded ride, 58th, all the way down towards Spear. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Got a buck? For just $1, you can wake up to Sonic's new Everyday Value Menu. Grab a junior breakfast burrito and a small order of tater tots. Just $1 each. It's not just a good deal, it's Sonic good.
Now through May 31st at the Home Depot, buy any Energy Star rated window.
How do you say Corvette in Colorado? PurefoyChevrolet.com, of course. But now you can say and think DenverCorvette.com and CorvetteDenver.com. Any way you think it, any way you say it, PurefoyChevrolet.com is Corvette in Colorado.
Saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com/tax credit or see Tax Advisor for details.
Progressing.
We progress.
Love your show.
Love your show, Jay.
Yeah, I love you too, Jay.
I just love it.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Tough, 806, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's been a pretty heated morning already. Take a little detour from our discussion about medical ethics. We will get back to that after we are joined by our next guest. Our guest is Dan Gilgoff of U.S. News and World Report. He writes about religion and religious movements for the magazine, and he had a very interesting post on his blog that's also based off of his book, I think, or at least some of the themes of his book. His book is called The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson, Focus on the Family, and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War. And obviously that's of particular interest here in Colorado, because Focus on the Family is, well, right here in Colorado. And his latest post on his blog at U.S. News and World Report is about, well, the headline is James Dobson's Political Surrender, which would seem to
would seem to contrast with Dan's book about James Dobson winning the culture war. So we wanted to ask Dan to come on and give us an update on what exactly is going on. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
David, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so your book is called How The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson, Focus in the Family, and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War. And your blog post, your reporting on this says James Dobson is now basically somewhat politically surrendering. So tell us what is going on.
Sure. Well, James Dobson, on a radio broadcast last week, was talking about the hate crimes bill that had recently passed the House of Representatives. And, you know, usually this is a moment where he would ask callers to inundate Washington, whether it be the White House or Congress, with phone calls and letters and emails in protest. This is the great strength of, you know, having a million or more daily listeners on your radio show, as Dobson does, and being carried by around 2,000 radio stations, you know, across the country. And these are listeners who have been listening to Focus on the Family for 30 years, you know, have raised their kids according to James Dobson's parenting advice, which he administers in these best-selling books. So they feel a very close bond, you know, with Dobson. And what was really remarkable about the show last week was that instead of using that platform to unleash this torrent of calls into Washington in protest, Dobson basically said, look, there's nothing that you could do right now, he told his listeners, that this is a moment when the Democrats are, you know, in firm control of Congress and the White House, and so it's really just a matter of waiting until the Republicans are back in control. So it was this kind of shocking moment where he kind of told his grassroots army to sort of sit tight and to, you know, politically disengage, which, given the history of evangelicals in this country, in the political arena, you know, they had sat out politics for many decades of the 20th century, you know, was really surprising advice to, you know, to tell that army to disengage.
We're talking to Dan Gilgoff of U.S. News and World Report. He's the author of The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson, Focus on the Family, and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War. He's also done some reporting on James Dobson's latest radio announcement, basically telling his supporters and the religious right, if you will, that there's not a lot that they can do in specific to stop this this hate crimes bill moving through Congress. But I think it's a deeper message, obviously. It's a sort of a watershed here that you've got this religious leader basically telling his supporters that the Democratic Congress means that they can't do anything. Okay, so how does this comport or not comport with the idea that in your book that evangelical America, as represented by James Dobson, is actually winning the culture war? Is this a shift, a real pivotal shift in the dominance of James Dobson's movement?
Well, you know, I think that the two obviously would seem to be incongruous. How could James Dobson be winning the culture war and then simultaneously, you know, disengaging from it? And I think the key is that is what you said, that James Dobson himself is watching some of his power wane. But I think that, you know, the evangelical movement itself and the goals politically that they've fought for, actually, I think has gotten more traction in recent years than, you know, perhaps any time since the modern culture war started in the 1960s, or, you know, the Christian right was founded in the late 1970s with the Moral Majority. And I think a great example of that is President Obama's speech yesterday at Notre Dame. And, you know, I think that the sight of a liberal Democratic president, you know, spending a huge chunk of that speech at Notre Dame talking about common ground on abortion and working to reduce demand for abortion, including by embracing, you know, some policies that would be considered controversial by abortion rights supporters, I think really does show that some of the goals of the Christian right and of the evangelical movement, you know, have gained, you know, broader acceptance. when you have a Democratic president pushing for that kind of thing. You know, also last week on Friday, there was a new Gallup poll released that shows for the first time since Gallup started asking the question, most Americans now call themselves pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So although, you know, Dobson himself is being eclipsed in some ways as the leader of this movement, and surely the Republicans, you know, are all out of power, and there's this debate about the role of the Christian right and social conservatism in the role, you know, in the Republican Party and whether they're doing more harm than good. You know, at the same time, I think it's unmistakable that, you know, some of these goals of the Christian right, you know, are even finding resonance with a, you know, with a Democratic president, which I think is pretty remarkable.
We're talking to Dan Gilgoff of U.S. News and World Report. He's the author of The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson Focus on the Family and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War. He reports this week on James Dobson telling his listeners that there's not much they can do to stop a hate crimes bill. I know you got to run, so I'll just ask you one last question. What about this notion that perhaps the evangelical movement will look to find or stress issues of common purpose with progressives, issues like anti-poverty, issues like the environment, that there might be a shift in the evangelical movement, not necessarily a reversal of its positions on issues, but a shift in what it stresses as the basis for its movement in order to find more common ground with Democrats and with progressives?
Right. Well, you know, on the one hand, I think it's unmistakable that that's happening. And, you know, especially you look at the role that evangelical leaders have played in, you know, advancing the case for legislation to combat climate change. I mean, this is something that would have been inconceivable a decade ago, and that's, you know, that's unmistakable. On the other hand, what I think is kind of a common mistake that we make is to say, particularly us in the media, is to say that this is a shift away from, you know, hot-button issues like abortion to issues that, you know, progressives have long led on, like combating climate change or the broader environmental basket of issues. And I think it's really an expansion of the evangelical agenda as opposed to a shift. And at the same time, you know, I do think the place where the shift is occurring, you know, the younger evangelicals care a lot more about the environment than their parents did, but they also are more pro-life than their parents did. You know, the one hot-button issue that I think they're shifting away from is the gay marriage question and, you know, the issue of gay rights. And so I think there you'll see much less emphasis going forward. You know, I think, you know, a signature accomplishment, though, of their parents' generation was to pass all of these constitutional amendments banning same-sex marriage and, in many cases, any recognition legally for same-sex couples in dozens of states. And so, you know, those are already on the books. And so that legacy is going to hold up for, you know, many years, perhaps decades or more to come. But so I do think you're seeing an expansion of the agenda of the evangelical movement and a shift away from the gay rights issues. But in terms of abortion, that issue is not going away, and I think it's actually growing in importance for a younger generation of evangelicals.
Dan Gilgoff of U.S. News and World Report. Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
It's good talking to you. That was Dan Gilgoff of U.S. News and World Report updating us on his reporting. He's the author of The Jesus Machine, How James Dobson Focus on the Family and Evangelical America Are Winning the Culture War. His latest report on U.S. News and World Report's website is about, actually, James Dobson's personal power is waning. James Dobson issuing a radio broadcast to supporters, basically saying that there's not much they can do to stop this hate crimes bill from moving forward through Congress, and perhaps that suggests that Dobson feels his own influence is waning. After the break, we're going to do a little bit of a news rundown, and then we'll get back to your calls on all of these medical ethics issues, talking about the mixture of politics, religion, ethics. We've really had a battle royal so far, first couple hours on this issue of whether a court should be able to, to tell a parent what kind of medical therapies they have to give to their kids, and also on whether a company should be able to patent part of the genome or a genome code. So stick around. We'll do a news update and then get back to your calls.
I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Well, we've been talking about it most of the morning. Had an early rollover crash southbound 225 at Colfax. Now we have two lanes getting past side of this accident, but only one lane is getting through on the ramp from eastbound I-70 to southbound 225. And, you know, that's going to be a busy stretch there. Things going really slow on eastbound I-70 beginning at 270. And the ramp from westbound I-70 still shut down. Use Peoria and Chambers as your alternate there. But just brutal there as Denver meets Aurora at I-70 and 225. Also stop and go speeds in the teens, 120th to 84th. As you're traveling southbound on 25, also really heavy, 58th past Spear Boulevard. Other spots, stop and go, westbound 36, Sheridan out to Wadsworth. Still have this lady having a baby in a vehicle on a Florida east of Federal. Maybe doctors are trying to coerce her to go to the hospital. She doesn't want to. Also, auto bike accident, 16th and Market. Head-on crash, 72nd in Indiana, and a multi-vehicle crash on Colfax near Josephine. Forecast, mostly sunny skies to start late this afternoon. Possible gusty storms maybe moving into the Front Range, bringing clouds and possible lightning, but little rain, if any. Look for highs in the low 90s. We could break our record of 93 set in 1996. Right now, we're already at 66 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Turn an ordinary summer to...
Planting some trees this spring? Choose the right nursery. Creekside Tree Nursery in Boulder. Since 1993, family-owned Creekside Tree Nursery has been offering customers superior quality trees, a solid warranty, outstanding customer service, and prices below their competition. Well worth a small drive to Boulder for this kind of quality and value if you live in Denver. No fancy sales, no gimmicks, just bigger, better trees. Creekside Tree Nursery. Visit us at creeksideboulder.com.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with a very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Their land. He says it's not the last discussion on Pinyon Canyon, but it's an important move to put up this, this safety net. Denver Post on Sunday reports that in 5 years' time, Colorado has quietly become one of the most welcoming states in the region for gays, lesbians, and transgender individuals seeking the same legal rights as in liberal states. The legislature has made various changes to the law to make the state more welcoming. So that's great news. Not so great news. Boulder area municipal coffers took some big hits during the first quarter of 2009. Consumers are continuing to scale back on spending, according to sales tax revenue reports from Boulder, Broomfield, and the surrounding areas. More Coloradans are covered by Medicaid, the government-sponsored health plan for low-income families, than any time in the program's 40-year history, says the Colorado Department of Healthcare Policy and Financing. The number of Coloradans receiving Medicaid benefits rose to 457,000 people in April, an increase of more than 9,000 from the previous month and 72,000 from the same time last year. That's an obvious reflection of the bad economy. Nine News tells us that temperatures are going to soar into the lower 90s today and tomorrow. Records could be broken this week. So it's going to be warm out there. Colorado's
congressional delegation is lobbying for some kind of federal bailout for farmers in northern Colorado who've been hit by that closure of New Frontier Bank in Greeley. Colorado Independent tells us that Judge Christine Arguello of Denver is among the top people of potential U.S. Supreme Court nominees who've gotten a little less press attention. NPR says that she is one of the top candidates potentially being considered, so there's a local connection to a very, very national issue. In national news, President Obama is looking to raise some taxes on the life insurance industry. He's basically saying that life insurance has been used for rich people to hide some of their income, some of their taxable income. And so he's trying to close that loophole, would raise about $12 billion a year. Congress will next month start the biggest regulatory overhaul of the U.S. financial system in decades, so says the Financial Times. The Politico reports that the Republican Party has scarcely begun to repair a wound that threatens to confine it to minority status. Its 2006 collapse among Latino voters. Nancy Pelosi still caught in that thicket where she has basically, well, she hasn't offered up a straightforward answer about whether she knew about waterboarding or not in 2003. But the good news, says the Hill newspaper, and I made this point on Fox News on Friday morning, this past Friday morning, that this is probably going to help advance the political impetus for an investigation into who knew what when. Both, you know, Pelosi, Dick Cheney, George Bush, and I think that's a good thing. We need to find out who knew what when. Some news of the weird. Authorities in North Carolina say a store owner and a patron thwarted a teen accused of trying to carry out a robbery by concealing a banana beneath his shirt to resemble a gun. The owner, Bobby Ray Mabe, said he and a customer jumped the teen, holding him until deputies arrived. While they waited, Mabe says the teen ate the banana. Statue of former president loses his head in Ohio. Someone has beheaded a statue of President James Garfield that was installed last week at an Ohio college. So somebody's got a vendetta against James Garfield. And the final two stories are the stories we've been discussing and debating all morning, and we'll continue the debate right now. In Minneapolis, a judge has said that parents are being medically negligent by denying their child chemotherapy recommended by doctors for his Hodgkin's disease. Doctors say the child would have a 90% survival chance if he took the chemotherapy, a 5% survival chance if he doesn't take the chemotherapy. The kid does not want it, did not like the first dose of chemotherapy, said it was painful. The parents are saying now, no, he's not getting the chemotherapy. The judge saying that that's medically negligent. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Then the other story, the ACLU has filed a suit against Myriad Genetics, which is trying to patent the genome of a breast cancer mutation as it researches a cure for that breast cancer mutation. Do you think that's okay to monopoly patent a genome? 303-713-7600. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
So we'll take your calls now. It's 827. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Going up to 92 degrees today. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open. Let's go to the phones and see what you're thinking on these two issues of right and wrong. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Jim in Denver. Jim.
How you doing, David?
I'm all right.
On the parents, the people calling saying this should be left to the family. Does the whole family get the vote? Are the grandparents in on it? if one parent takes the Bible literally and the other one doesn't take it literally, who wins there? If one's not religious and the other one is, what would Trump want? And does this case start a huge precedent? Is it a big precedent in the legal world?
Well, I think it's legal guardian, right? I mean, I think that's what this is. I think it's what kind of latitude, what kind of parameters should the legal guardian of a child be governed by? What kind of decisions can a legal guardian make for their child? And I threw out the idea here, if you're completely okay with the guardians being able to decide anything, then why shouldn't the legal guardian be able to beat a child as a form of discipline?
Right. Well, the doctor that called before made an excellent point. One is proactive activity, and the other one is just sheer neglect. You know, he did spell out a difference. The Phoenicians town was under siege, and they all got together. You know, where their belief was they sacrificed their children, rich and poor. The siege was lifted. And around that time, the Hebrews, if you open up the Bible, one of the first stories is Abraham starting to sacrifice his son. Now, was it God that interfered, or was it rationality that interfered and said, you don't want to do that?
Well, I don't really see the difference between neglect and doing something proactively, because I think not having your kid get chemotherapy, there's a proactive nature to effectively block.
Well, I agree. If I had my way, if this sets a precedent, I hope I get my way, the kid should take the chemo. He'll get more than likely survive, and God can sort it all out later. But I would hate to be in that room in a hospice when that kid's on his last few weeks.
Right. Now I know that there's the idea that, well, the kid doesn't want it, so doesn't that bolster the parent's case? You know, the judge, I don't know where I come down on this, because the judge makes a good point. The judge says that the child only has a rudimentary understanding at best of the risks and benefits of chemotherapy. For instance, the child does not believe he is ill currently. The fact is that he's very ill currently. So then there's this whole issue of, well, if the child wants it, but the judge is saying, well, kids who are 13 years old can't make these decisions because, for instance, this kid doesn't really understand what's happening to him.
He probably wouldn't want to get a root canal either.
Yeah, that's, you know what, you just put it in exactly the way I've been trying to think about putting it. You're right. He wouldn't want a root canal either. That's right. But because it's hard for a 13-year-old, or it may be hard for a 13-year-old, to understand that if you don't get a root canal, your whole mouth will, like, rot out.
Yeah. And science, doctors, some historians think George Washington was bled to death with the latest science techniques. He had a strep throat. Franklin, in his day, there was a huge argument over inoculation then between the Mather family. And his son, Franklin's young infant, died because he didn't get inoculated, which Franklin believed would have saved his life, but he was out of the country.
Is that right?
So he agonized over that for the rest of his life. So which way to go? What's exactly right? If this sets a precedent, then I want a little bit of say in it, because the next family may be torn apart over what they want to do.
No, you are right. I mean, this is not an easy issue, and you're right. There does need to be a precedent that comes out of this, so there's at least some clarity on the law. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, well, on the copyright thing,
yeah.
Time limits enough so they can make all their money, and then it's public domain.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that, you know, it's not just time limits, right? I mean, for every day that this company has a patent on the genome for this breast cancer strain is a day that other companies can't do research on it. So it's not just their profits. They're trying to actually, that's the way I read it, is potentially limit or prevent research by other companies, by competitors on the same disease. So it's not just like how long can they hold it to make profits. The patent in this situation is potentially limiting the amount of research into this particular strain of disease. So
in this debate, I'm on your side. You know, if I have my druthers, that's the way it'd be. What about short time limits?
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, that's the first and easiest step that needs to happen is to at least significantly limit the amount of time that these patents can be enforced. Right now, you remember that a couple of years ago, drug companies slipped in an earmark into a larger omnibus bill in Congress, I think extending the patent for, I think it was Claritin. I can't remember what it was for. It was for a really, really a pervasive drug, and it slipped it in there in order only, the only possible public, well, actually, there wasn't a public benefit. The only ramification of it was that it drove up the company's profits. It had no public benefit. And remember, patents are awarded by the government. It is a service. The government enforces patents, awards patents. It's not something that a company should be necessarily entitled to. It's a taxpayer giveaway. We are granting monopoly rights. So it should come with some kind of better limit. You're absolutely right. Hey, Jim.
I agree with you. The Fogerty brothers in the music world, they couldn't play their own music because of patents.
Yeah.
Because of copyright.
Thanks for the call, man.
You're welcome.
833, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll squeeze in one more call before we got to get another break. Let's go to Renee in Denver.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to talk a little bit about this, from my point of view, religious exemption to the child abuse law for medical treatment. And what I wanted to point out primarily is that this is a much larger and more prevalent issue than many people are aware of, that children die every year that belong to one of these groups. And, in fact, we know that hundreds of children have died because of it. We don't really know how many because these groups tend to separate themselves off from society as a whole. But the main thing that I want to say about it is it's really one aspect of one of the ways that we could grasp the schisms in our society today, which is two different fundamental worldviews. One which is, I think, the mainstream view, which is empirical, science-based enlightenment view, and one which I think is still a more minority view but also very prevalent, which is a biblical, faith-based, anti-scientific view. And so those two perspectives come into conflict in this issue. We had one of these groups in Colorado out in Mesa County, and some kids died in the 80s and 90s. I can't remember the name of the group. They moved out to, Washington State, and there's a family out there named the Newmans, N-U-E-M-A-N-N, who are being prosecuted right now. The trial's going on right now because they allowed their 12-year-old daughter to die from diabetes. And these children, some of them die a very agonizing and very preventable death. In some cases, there are infections, meningitis, things that are very treatable by antibiotics. And very often what happens when, the intervention doesn't happen until the child is dead, often the parents are waiting for their child to rise from the dead because they don't believe it's possible for their child to die when they have placed their faith in Jesus to save them. There was a recent case out east of a little baby, a two-year-old baby, where the mother pled guilty on condition that if her child still rose from the dead, that she could withdraw her plea, and the prosecutor was happy to accept that plea.
Yeah, I mean, again, and this is a matter of public policy. Where in terms of the law do we draw the line? Where do we as a society say those decisions are not acceptable? I mean, there's not a right or wrong answer to this, folks, and I don't know where the right or wrong answer really is. What I do know is that I think it's important for the court to create some pretty crystal clear parameters so that this is not such a hazy gray area all the time. Thanks for the call. 837, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. And we will get back to your calls, 303-713-7600. After we get a traffic update from John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still trying to clean up this accident. It's a rollover in Aurora, southbound 225 at Colfax. Speed's starting to jump up just a little bit, but still in about the teens and 20s there, from 70 down to Colfax. Two lanes are getting passed. Only one lane is open on the ramp from eastbound I-70 to southbound 225. Ramp from westbound 70 still shut down there, so you're going to want to get off beforehand at Chambers or after at Peoria. Also working a few surface street situations. Looks like that woman having the babies out of the way. Still got this auto bike accident, 16th and Market. Two-car crash, Alameda and Dahlia, and a head-on crash at 72nd and Indiana. Your forecast, mostly sunny, a high of 91. Just a couple off our old record of 93. Possible late afternoon lightning storms, but little rain, if any, is expected. Right now we're at 67 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Arapahoe Basin is still open. Don't miss the Memorial Weekend Beach Party, including the Festival of the Brew Pubs on Sunday and free concerts Saturday and Sunday. Get there early on Sunday for your collector's mug and unlimited beer tasting. Visit their website at arapahoebasin.com.
60 Minutes.
The CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Charles Grove.
Today on...
Get this. Joey and me were supposed to go to this concert next week, right? But then something terrible happened. Joey was driving without a seatbelt. But he didn't wreck. No, he got pulled over. Now Joey has to pay for a seatbelt ticket instead of a concert ticket, and I have to go by myself. How lame is that? So Joey, if you're out there, you're an idiot. Wear your seatbelt or you'll get a ticket.
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket. Day and night. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Fred, I like to come to the lodge because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lodge Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
What home repairs are you struggling with? Get the help you need with the Home Pros. Hi, this is Joe Greenberg.
And Lenore Greenberg with $99 Rooter.
Host of the Home Pros. Join us every Saturday beginning at 12 noon.
For help with that home repair, right here on AM 760 KKZN.
Hi, this is Tom Hartman from KKZN. If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. Yes, we've all heard that home equity loans are hard to get these days, but TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. I can tell you that the hardworking lenders at TCF Bank want to make loans. Find out what TCF Bank can do for you. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or talk to a lender today. Call 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Hey, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Just went to go put my my yogurt into the refrigerator out in the
What did I tell you before you went to do that?
You told me to be careful, and I think I remember that there was an AP story
about work fridges
last week about work fridges and how like 20 people got sick at a workplace because somebody hadn't cleaned out the work fridge. Well, the work fridge.
What was the smell like coming out of there?
It was not pleasant.
The one I warned you about. Yeah. See, I don't even use that refrigerator anymore.
Yeah, it was
pretty disgusting.
Quite disgusting.
Yeah. So
I think I'll keep my yogurt out
your
here.
Your yogurt's probably going to go bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. I'd rather it go bad out here than...
Than kill somebody else.
Than create some sort of alien over there. All right, we'll go back to the phones, 303-713-7600. Should a judge have the right, should he have ruled that it was medically negligent for a pair of parents to allow their kid not to take chemotherapy for a strain of cancer that had a 90% cure rate with the chemotherapy, a 5% cure rate without it? Were the parents medically negligent in denying the kid the chemotherapy based on their beliefs, religious beliefs, belief in alternative medicine? And do you think a company should be able to patent the genome of a breast cancer strain? One company is trying to do that. The ACLU says this is unacceptable. What do you think? 303-713-7600. That company, of course, did the research to find out, to map the genome of this cancer strain. So shouldn't it be able to patent its own intellectual property? What do you think? 303-713-7600. I don't think it should be able to patent this. I don't think you should be able to patent
a gene. It's part of the makeup of nature. How can you patent something like that? 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Josh in Arvada. Josh, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave. You know, I see this more in line of where does the government have the power to enforce medical treatment on somebody? And, you know, in other countries, you know, if this sets a precedent, we might end up like China, where a political dissident could be, you know, declared crazy and thrown in a mental institution. Or, you know, they can already force your kids to be on Ritalin in order to go to school. So, you know, there's a difference between saving a life and forcing somebody onto some antipsychotic or whatever because a teacher might be, you know, uninspiring.
Well, yeah, I mean, but again, the special case of this, I think, is somebody is already deciding, is already making the medical decisions. This is not a case of whether you, as an adult individual, should be able to make your own medical decisions. This is a case about that involves, by definition, somebody's going to make the medical decision for the child. And so we're already in sort of a surrogate decision-making situation. So I guess the question fundamentally is, should there be any rules on what legal guardians, on the decisions legal guardians can make for the people they're making decisions for? Should there be any rules at all?
Well, you know, this goes back to Terry Schiavo was pretty much the same thing.
Exactly.
And so my question is, should partisan politics be involved in enforcing, you know, I mean, is this something where for political gain somebody's going to kill a kid or, you know, destroy the quality of the last couple of years of somebody's life?
Right. No,
that's where I'm saying.
That's
I'm
the danger. When you put it into the public policy realm, you're right. Public policy is ultimately shaped by politicians.
And so I'm more scared of an increase in government power in this case. I don't mind the government doing for me, but I do mind the government coercing me, you know, or my children. And in this case, we're dealing with something that's a little more established. But, you know, once again, if we start dealing with Prozac, or if you remember back, you know, all the SEAL babies back in the 60s because there was a drug that was supposed to help mothers stay calm and a tranquilizer, and the kids were born with hands but no arms.
Right.
You know, I think this is a real dangerous road to go down because we're always going to have hotshot doctors telling us that this or that is the answer, only to find out 20 or 30 years later that they were wrong.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, that's the part of this that makes me really uncomfortable, which is that the judge is effectively ordering a medical therapy. I mean, he hasn't really done that yet. In this specific case, he said you got to at least get this test to see if the doctors are, you know, to confirm the doctor's fears. But you're right. I mean, the idea of the state mandating a particular therapy, that's really invasive. Then again, and I don't think the doctors are lying here. I don't think they're operating on, I think their data is probably sound. They're saying the kid has a 90% chance of surviving if he gets this one therapy, and only a 5% chance of surviving if he doesn't. So this is really a life or death situation. And I just don't, you know, I just don't know.
That also weighs the sacrifice of this one child versus what's going to become a couple hundred years of legal precedent.
Well, you mean this ruling?
Right. If this ruling starts to erode the limits of what the government can and can't do, then we end up having a bunch of kids on Ritalin or some other piece because of this ruling, and then we find out 20 years later that you know, we have a bunch of kids who are basically autistic because of some drug.
Well, that's right, because we don't know what the side effects are. Well, that's right. I guess what I would like to see come out of this case is some sort of basic minimum standard where we take into account what the doctors are saying, the scientific evidence, that creates some sort of standard. I mean, this judge seems to be ruling in terms of this idea of medically negligent. That's really the problem.
Well, and if the parents make a good faith effort, you know, I guess I could see that level, that the parents must make a good faith effort to cure their child. But I just don't see the level of the government establishing a specific regimen to cure the child.
I mean, but this case sort of suggests that we do need some kind of standard. That the parents are saying, look, it's a 90% to 5% chance if we, you know, that those are the odds. Okay, 90% our kid survives if he takes this therapy, 5% chance if he doesn't survive. So I'll put it this way, 90% chance if he survives if he takes the therapy, 95% chance that the kid dies if he doesn't take the therapy. Okay, and the parents are choosing the 95% chance that he's going to die. So they're making basically a life or death decision for this child. And I think it raises the very real question of whether we as a society should be comfortable with parents making those kinds of decisions for their kids. I mean, if you're comfortable with this, I don't see how you can be comfortable with this and not comfortable with a parent walking into child abuse court and saying, hey, I think the best way to discipline my kid is to whip my kid or waterboard my kid every time he or she doesn't take out the trash when I tell them to, right? If you're okay with this, and the parent comes into court and says, I waterboard my kid every time he doesn't take out the trash when I tell him to, and that's my belief on how to discipline my kid, and that's the way I feel, and that should be the end of it. How can you not be okay with that?
You know, I think that this is about that. Then you go into intent, and I think that a parent saying that I don't agree with this doctor, I don't believe this doctor, and I don't think that forcing my child through this pain is the best solution, is different than him saying, I think it's a good idea to physically harm or hurt my child.
Yeah, but these parents are also making an affirmative argument. They're saying, I think alternative medicine's better.
Right.
And from a doctor's perspective, a doctor's going to say, you saying alternative medicine is better than what I'm suggesting based on medical evidence, factual, empirical evidence, you're making a cruel and unusual decision.
And I'm saying that the doctors made the same cruel and unusual decision in the 60s when they took mothers and put them on these drugs that had the seal babies. So what we're saying is that the doctors have all the answers and they're infallible by saying this.
Well, I don't think we're saying no.
Mothers who instead maybe did some yoga to not be stressed out during their pregnancy were actually better off. You know, should we prosecute those doctors who...
Well, let's put it this way. Okay, so I'm willing to come to where you are and say, look, I think then in a situation like that, it's the parents, there should be a burden of proof on the parents to show some sort of empirical evidence that the course of action that they're suggesting in a life or death decision like this, some sort of empirical evidence that it is empirically based, right? I mean,
well, I can say that, you know, you have to do something and you have to show some evidence, but at the same time, I don't think that doctors who are antithetical to that evidence should necessarily be able to wipe it away.
I agree with that. And as I said earlier, I think if I have one criticism of some doctors, not all, but some doctors, I think they sometimes don't value alternative therapies in a way that they could, that sometimes they discount those alternative therapies, experimental therapies, Eastern therapies, you know, Eastern medicine, because they haven't been trained in them a little bit too hastily. However, in a case like this, where the doctors are saying there's a 90% chance of survival with basic chemotherapy that they've been doing for years on Hodgkin's cancer, and a 5% chance of survival without it, that's pretty compelling, right? I mean, that is really, really compelling, and there's no reason to suggest that the doctors are lying about that. I just don't think that's straight up conspiracy theory. I'm not saying you're saying that. I'm just saying the idea that the doctors are making up that number, I don't buy that. And so that's why I think it makes this case such an important, as you said, precedent test case. Thanks for the call. 852, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. We are debating it out. We're sparring it out. I know it might make some folks uncomfortable that I'm wrestling with this in my own head. I don't really know exactly where I come down. But as I said, if you're looking for a blowtorch on the right or the left that always seems to have an ironclad, blowhard opinion, black or white opinion on everything, you're listening to the wrong host. Sometimes I got to wrestle with these things just like you got to wrestle with these things. 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still working this crash in Aurora. Rollover accident southbound 225. Been around for over 2 hours. It's at Colfax. Looks like they may get it cleaned up here in the next half hour, 45 minutes, according to CDOT. Two lanes are getting passed right now. Ramp from westbound I-70 is still shut down. So if you're coming westbound, you will hit the brakes there at basically Airport Boulevard. You want to get off at either Chambers or Peoria, depending on how far east you want to go or west you want to go. Also, still sluggish on westbound I-70 or eastbound I-70 there, approaching 225. One other current crash. It's on the surface streets, though, Alameda and Dahlia. Already starting to see the clearing of the other major highways around Denver and Boulder and the ones in between. Your forecast, mostly sunny skies to start, but late this afternoon, gusty storms may move onto the front range, bringing a few more clouds, gusty winds, and perhaps a little bit of lightning, but little rain if possible. Look for highs in the low 90s. Could break our record of 93 set in 1996. Right now, we're at 69 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Beat the summer heat with low Walmart prices on everyone's favorite brands of ice cream. 48-ounce Breyers ice cream is just $2.57, 18-ounce Keebler Chips Deluxe for $2.50, and 24-ounce Hershey's Chocolate Syrup for $1.68. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Tell me why I should trust the insurance company's single pay.
This Memorial Day weekend at the Home Depot, get special deferred financing store-wide with your Home Depot consumer credit card. Buy a grill or patio furniture and you could save three ways. One, with our low prices. Two, with deferred financing. Keep your cash and pay later. Three, entertain at home versus going out. Special deferred financing. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 27th. U.S. only. See store for details.
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go!
Then, it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave. Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
A55, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. 92 degrees, that's what the high is going to be today. Back into the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. What do you think of this judge ruling that a family cannot refuse chemo for their child based on their religious beliefs? And what about this ACLU suit, this attempt to create an injunction against a company that's trying to patent the genome of a breast cancer mutation so as to prevent other competitors from researching a cure for it? 303-713-7600 is the number. Mark in Lakewood. Mark.
Hi there. I wanted to comment first on that last caller. I felt he was totally off base on the subject. I mean, when you're talking about thalidomide babies from the 50s or something, that's, you know, first of all, there's lawsuits galore on those kinds of things on a daily basis, you know,
right,
of all these drugs. And those experimental drugs and things, the issues with Ritalin, they have nothing to do with this issue, which is really life or death situations that people are putting children into because of religious beliefs.
That's right.
Now, I worked in 19, it's been a while, okay, but it hasn't changed too much from my understanding. In 1971, I worked for a gentleman named Dr. Denton Cooley. Cooley and DeBakey were the two top doctors in heart surgery. Books have been written about them. They, you know, artificial hearts and things like that, heart transplants. They were doing all those things down in Houston. And it was a summer between my junior and senior year in high school. And on a daily basis, somehow Cooley developed a great reputation with Jehovah's Witnesses. And so on a daily basis, I would wheel these people into the operating room that were Jehovah's Witnesses that would not take blood. And by the end of the summer, I was just devastated by this thing because I realized I was ruling, you know, rolling people up to their death. There was never one person that lived through this. I don't know how he got the reputation, because never. I mean, I probably saw maybe one or two other people die on the, you know, on the operating table the whole summer. But when I was wheeling a Jehovah's Witness up there, I was wheeling them to their death. And one time, you know, at the end of the summer, and I just lost my father to heart problems, you know, that the summer before, so it wasn't real easy for me emotionally. And I remember one day just taking this beautiful little 10-year-old girl up, you know, wheeling her through the up to the operating room, and thinking to myself, you know, like, I can't handle this. You know, I wanted to just scream at her parents or do something to keep this from happening, you know.
Right, and then
and Jehovah's Witnesses still do it.
And the and you know, then the question is again, you get back to, so this question is not so rare, right? This question comes up all the time. What are parents? What should they be empowered? What kind of decisions should they be empowered to make? I mean, I think there's a case for a minimum kind of standard. And then the question is, can you create a minimum standard without actually trampling on people's freedoms? I don't know the answer to that. All right, stick around. We're going to get the national news, and then we'll come back to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo.
It's over for the Republicans for the next 40 years, because they will be viewed as the party that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't deliver to the American people.
The Ed Schultz Show, mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Face it, the economy's a mess. The trillions of dollars bailing out Wall Street, the big banks, and AIG just isn't working. Here's a better idea. For 1 year, suspend all mortgage payments, stop foreclosures, and allow home loans to be modified. The Mortgage Holiday Plan allows homeowners to refinance to a 4% fixed 30-year loan. Commercial property loans would be allowed to refinance at more favorable terms. Mortgage holders would be reimbursed by the government to cover the interest owed them during the holiday. American families and businesses would immediately spend, save, and invest the freed up cash throughout the economy and get America's economic motor running again. The mortgage holiday will not only work, but will cost billions less than those crazy bailouts. Learn more at SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. Changes in government in Washington and Jerusalem, and today the leaders are taking the measure of each other at the White House. CBS News correspondent Bill Plant reports on the sit-down between President Obama and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
These two leaders meet at a time when each has a competing agenda. Prime Minister Netanyahu has been prime minister before, but he'll find this a very different atmosphere in the Oval Office than he did when he met with President Bill Clinton. President Obama has said exactly what he wishes to do in the Middle East, and it conflicts with Netanyahu's vision of what's required for Israel at this time.
The head of the World Health Organization says she expects the continued rapid spread of the swine flu virus, but Margaret Chan says she is not yet ready to raise the H1N1 pandemic alert to its highest level. Well, Japan has experienced a spike in the number of cases, up to about 130.
This is Barry Peterson in Tokyo. Japan's prime minister is telling people to keep calm. Officials say the outbreak is large in numbers, but many of the cases are fairly mild, and that some of those who are ill are already on the mend.
The attorney for Drew Peterson has pleaded not guilty to murder, entered a plea on his behalf in connection with the 2004 death of the retired suburban Chicago police officer's third wife. His attorney, Joel Brodsky.
What this trial is going to show, if we even get to trial, will be that there is absolutely no evidence that Drew did anything wrong or anything at all regarding Kathleen Savio's death.
The case, originally ruled an accidental death, was reopened following the 2007 disappearance of Peterson's fourth wife, Stacy. By the narrowest of margins, the Supreme Court has overturned a lower court ruling that gave the green light to a terrorist suspect detainee's lawsuit against FBI Director Robert Mueller and former Attorney General John Ashcroft. CBS News Chief Legal Analyst Andrew Cohen says the decision's no shock, even though the closeness of the vote is.
I'm actually surprised that the vote on the court was as close as it was, 5-4, because the justices have traditionally been very reluctant to allow lawsuits like this to proceed against government officials. And, of course, the case isn't over yet. The plaintiff here does have another chance to try to get around the broad immunity rules.
The shuttle astronauts are in the midst of their fifth and final Hubble telescope spacewalk. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
They're nearly 3 hours in, and while the spacewalkers have had some trouble undoing bolts again, it's been a mostly smooth day, with astronaut Drew Feustel getting in a quick greeting.
I'd like to say hello to everybody watching, my family, and like to say a special happy birthday to my father-in-law, DJ Bettnagy, up in Cornwall, Ontario.
They've installed the last of Hubble's new batteries. Now they're working on a fine guidance sensor that fine-tunes Hubble's view into space. If there's time and energy, they'll also install some insulation panels before locking the Hubble doors for the last time, Nick.
On Wall Street, a rally underway. The Dow up 152 points and the NASDAQ ahead 25. This is CBS News.
All right, ants, prepare to launch Operation Pound Cake.
Sir, what if this house is protected by Terminator Ant Control?
Don't worry, Private, a do-it-yourselfer lives here. If we encounter any sprays or repellents, we'll do what good soldier ants always do, divide and start new colonies.
Gotta love those do-it-yourselfers, sir.
Move out!
Fighting ants yourself can actually make things worse. Terminator Ant Control stays outside to protect your home inside. Locate a pest professional at TerminatorHome.com.
Now through May 31st at the Home Depot, buy any Energy Star rated window and you could get a federal tax credit up to $1,500. While waiting for your tax return, start enjoying up to 15% lower energy bills. A nice little deduction in itself. It all starts with an Energy Star tax credit up to $1,500 now through May 31st. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Visit HomeDepot.com/tax credit or see tax advisor for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Like Denver, other cities in the state facing tight budgets are instituting hiring freezes and forcing furloughs. The city of Montrose will have employees take this Friday off without pay and another day this summer. Workers on the Denver payroll received notice last week of additional furlough days this October and November. A medical helicopter carrying a patient from Greeley to Denver was forced to make an emergency landing after a bird strike left a small hole in the front windshield. Nine News reports the helicopter was about 2 miles from Swedish Medical Center when the bird collided with the chopper. It landed at Centennial Airport, and the patient was then driven to the hospital. And the Denver Post is reporting former Avalanche goalie Patrick Waugh has a standing offer to be the head coach of his former team. Current coach Tony Granato has 2 years remaining on his contract. It's the Nuggets and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Game one tips off tomorrow night in L.A., and the Rockies play in Atlanta tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao, now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
We're still looking at some big delays across Aurora due to an earlier accident and ongoing investigation. The crash occurred on the southbound side of 225 right around Colfax. It's going to hang things up on I-70 as well. That ramp from westbound I-70 as you're trying to access southbound 225 still shut down. Southbound I-25 crowded downtown. Same deal for westbounders on 36. This is on that approach to Wadsworth. Surface Street crash should be out of your way shortly. Alameda and Dahlia. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
Choice is a good thing, especially at the freeway. Right now at Freeway Ford, get your choice of an own up.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
You never have to pan, you never have to zoom, you never have to scroll. You just read. Those were the words of Amazon's chief executive, Jeff Bezos, at the launch of the new Kindle DX, their brand new e-reader, which is 250% bigger than previous Kindles and aimed at the newspaper, magazine, and document reading audience. A paperless society is now one step and just under $500 closer.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
Colorado, according to the Denver Post, has quietly become one of the most welcoming states in the region for gays, lesbians, and transgender individuals. Whoa. Our music bed went out a little bit there. Sorry about that. It's skipping. Well, I'll just talk over it. Boulder area municipal coffers took some hits during the first quarter of 2009 as consumers continue to scale back on spending, according to sales tax revenue reports from Boulder, Broomfield, and surrounding counties. Denver Business Journal reports that Medicaid coverage in Colorado hits a 40-year high. Medicaid benefits rose to 457,000 people in April, an increase of more than 9,000 from the previous month and 72,000 from the same time last year. That's obviously a product of the economy. Soaring temperatures set to hit record highs over the next 2 days here on the Front Range in the 90s. There may be some bailout money for farmers in northern Colorado after that bank up in Greeley went down. National news, Congress will next month start the biggest regulatory overhaul of the U.S. financial system in decades. Republicans are sounding the alarm over the their failure to keep Latino voters in their fold. They have seen a serious decrease in Latino voting for Republican candidates. Nancy Pelosi still caught in that thicket over torture. What she knew, when she knew it. The good news is, says the Hill newspaper, is that this could advance a truth commission, that the controversy over what Pelosi knew may advance a congressional investigation into the whole affair, which would be looking to not only Pelosi, but Dick Cheney, President Bush, et cetera, et cetera. News of the weird, someone has beheaded a statue of President James Garfield. It was installed just last week at an Ohio college. Authorities in North Carolina say a store owner and a patron thwarted a teen accused of trying to carry out a robbery by concealing a banana beneath his shirt to resemble a gun. The owner of the store said he and a customer jumped the teen, holding him until police arrived. While they waited, the teen ate the banana. And the two stories we're going to continue debating here. A Minneapolis judge has ruled that a family cannot refuse chemotherapy for a boy who has Hodgkin's cancer. The family is trying to prevent the kid from getting chemo based on their religious beliefs. Doctors say that with the chemo, the kid would have a 90% chance of living, without it, a 95% chance of dying. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. And then also, the ACLU is filing an injunction trying to block a company from getting a patent on a genome of a breast cancer strain, the company trying to patent it so that they can prevent their competitors from doing research on the genome. Do you think a genome should be able to be patented? 303-713-7600. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
Let's go back to the phones now, get you to weigh in. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open. Let's go to Jeff in Littleton. Jeff.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm all right.
You know, I'd like to actually, subjects have me pretty inflamed this morning, but let's talk about the Genome Project. Here's what is at issue in my estimation. Patents were originally set up to protect the individual who invents something, creates something, same with copyright. They were not designed to protect the corporation. Now that we've given corporations personhood, it's rolled into that. That's why things become problematic. An individual would more than likely want to do everything they possibly could in order to further their discovery, whereas a corporation is only interested in controlling the profits.
Well, what about the argument that, look, the company put in a lot of money to research the mapping of this strain of cancer, and it that work that it put in has value.
Sure.
That's intellectual property. And they're basically asserting that the way to protect that intellectual property is to patent their findings.
Exactly. And if it were an individual, it would be a very different situation. The reason why we have this consternation is because of the fact that it is a for-profit corporation, and we aren't sure what will or won't happen with that genome if indeed they are allowed to patent it. I also, by the way, think that this is a little different than patenting a widget.
Well, that's right. I mean, it is different than patenting a widget. I mean, my problem with this is patenting information that exists as opposed to an invention. To invent something, to create something that doesn't exist, that's pretty cut and dry. Right? To patent something that exists in nature, and you're trying to patent, effectively trying to patent it so that you can recover the investment on the findings about it or the discovery of it. You're patenting a discovery of something that exists. Now, that to me, that's pretty weird, right? Because you didn't create anything. You just found it. But then again, how do you economically incentivize exploration?
Well, what the question then becomes, what do you do now that you've found this? That's where, I mean, you know, these people who talk about market system, let the market run and no controls, and which is, of course, insanity, they're the same people who would back the fact that, oh, this company spent all this money on research and they found this, so they should be able to have exclusive rights to that information for whatever given period of time. And in my estimation, I think that if the market system really worked as perfectly as so many people try to tell us it does, then they shouldn't need to lock that information up. Instead, they should be looking for the competitive angle and, well, okay, we'll put this out, but we have more information on it, and we're going to do it better. We're going to come up with the cure because we've got the information.
Well, that's right. I mean, I've got less of a problem of patenting a cure that was invented than in patenting a slice of information that exists in nature. It's one thing to patent, you know, patenting a DNA strand that exists in nature that afflicts human beings, to patent it because you discovered it, as opposed to patenting some new compound that you created to cure it. That's what's so weird about it. How can you patent something that exists in nature that by these folks' own admission, they didn't create. They simply found. That to me is where you get into a real problematic area, and you get into a situation where the patent is being used to protect the corporate profit and not to advance science.
I agree. You know, something that just occurred to me is, wouldn't this be akin to in engineering, you are going to design, let's say, a different kind of engine to replace the internal combustion engine. Well, you need to have mathematical formulas in order to create whatever it is that you're creating. So if you come up with a different mathematical formula than anyone has ever used before, is it still not property it's not property. You just came up with the mathematical formula to create this thing. The profit is in creating the thing, not coming up with these mathematical formulation.
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And this is a complicated case. I'll just read you from this article about it, because it's not 100% cut and dry. It appears that the issue will be coming back to the fore as the ACLU is announcing a major lawsuit against Myriad Genetics, which holds patents related to testing for mutations in the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which are often mutated in hereditary breast cancer cases. The ACLU is organizing, promoting the suit, blah, 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 blah. On the receiving end of all that legal firepower from the ACLU are the groups associated with the patents, the University of Utah, et cetera, and the company the patents were licensed to. But the suit also brings in the U.S. Patent and Trademark Offices, which granted them in the first place. To understand the issues, it's necessary to take a short diversion into the patents themselves. When the genes were first cloned and the patents filed, it wasn't clear that a genetic test was even feasible, as the genes were very large, had many complex mutations, and sequencing DNA was very slow. Fortunately, a small subset of mutations were prevalent in a number of ethnic groups, presumably due to its founder effects. This allowed the company to market a useful test, which brought in more and more samples. Further analysis of these samples allowed Myriad to build what's currently the most comprehensive database of these mutations and their implications. To protect its monopoly on testing, the company has continued to file patents that, in sum, prevent anyone from looking too carefully at the DNA sequences themselves. So that's what I mean. They're actually trying to patent not the test, but to patent the information that's being tested. The information that they didn't create, but that they certainly spent the money and the resources to find.
Sure, but you also heard in what you just read, their justification is that in order to protect the test, they have to protect the information that the test is gathering. That tells me that if you knew what you were doing and you looked at the information,
yeah, you could. Well, yeah, that's right. You could figure out that the test would become pretty commonplace. That's right. That you'd be able to figure out the test. I mean, and check this out. This is incredible. The company even patented the mere action of comparing one of the DNA sequences in patient samples, even though that process involves little more than standard laboratory techniques and the use of sequence comparison software, free versions of which are available both as freeware and commercial software. In short, perfectly legal techniques became patent infringement when applied to these specific genes. So this is what I'm talking about, folks, patenting genes that exist in nature. It's really creepy, but I do believe that there is a substantive argument that if you don't allow some kind of reward, whether it's a patent or something else, you take away the economic incentive for companies like this to do basic scientific research. What do you think? 303-713-7600. It's 919. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Turk, any new thoughts on the patent stuff?
I'm kind of leaning with you. It's hard to patent something that exists in nature by itself without any help of anything.
But then how do you spur companies to search for stuff like that if there's no bang for their buck at the end? If you say you can't patent what you find, then why is a business going to say, all right, we're going to spend $50 million trying to find out something? That's the problem.
Yeah, it's another ethical...
it's a problem.
It's a quandary. Well, you'd think you'd want as many people working on a cure for something as possible instead of one person patenting it.
Right. Well, and actually, I will say this. One of the... And I've been holding this in my back pocket.
Great.
One of the ways out of this has been suggested in the Congress is that you create, instead of patents, that you create a prize system. Where you set out, the government can set out broad goals. Because remember, the patent is a government process, right? A patent, that's one form of government gift, benefit, saying you have patent protection. Another way is for the government to say, all right, look, whoever comes up for a cure for breast cancer is going to get $1 zillion, is going to get a prize, right? It's a prize system.
Incentive-based.
Incentive-based. So the incentive isn't if you create it, if you develop it, you get to monopoly own it. The incentive is if you create it, you get a big prize, and then the government will own the technique, and then the government can get that technique out as far and wide as possible to spur more research around it.
Right.
So if you create a prize system, you're not stopping research. You're rewarding good research.
Well,
and
yeah,
then
it seems like the patents would stop research, right?
That's exactly right. That's the problem.
Yep. I'm with you there, man. I'm with you on this one.
All right, good. I'm 1 for 2 with you.
Doing good.
303-713-7600 is the number. Give us a call. 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Let's get a traffic update.
Well, crews have cleaned up that crash southbound 225 around Colfax, but now accident investigation underway. Two lanes still getting past there. It looks like maybe even three now. Ramp from westbound I-70 still shut down, though, so you want to use Peoria or Chambers as alternates. Also going to be a little busy there. Westbound I-70 from airport down to 225. Eastbound sluggish beginning at 270. Also a couple late surface street accidents, one at Santa Fe and Alameda, but that's a busy intersection. That's going to slow people down. Also got an accident on Park Avenue there near I-25 where all those interstates come together right there. Forecast mostly sunny, high 91, just a couple off our record of 93. Possible late afternoon lightning storms, but little rain, if any, expected. Right now we're already at 74 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
So everyone's talking about energy tax credits, and you're wondering how to...
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go!
Yeah. It's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave, Glee is incredible, inspiring, and remarkable. Glee, right after part one of the American Idol season finale, starting at 8, 7 Central, Fox Tuesday.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-491-8149 or click on the banner above to go straight to our website. Remember, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Here's that number again, 1-800-491-8149.
I just talk about climate change. Let Radiance Corporation install solar, geothermal, and radiant systems for your home or business. Geothermal heats your home four times more efficiently than with gas or propane, reducing your heating bills up to 75%. And Radiance can help solar power your geothermal heating system. Plus, you may qualify for a 30% tax credit on certain geothermal equipment. Solar, geothermal, and radiant systems, a winning combination for the environment. Reduce your carbon footprint and your utility bills. Tap into Colorado's renewable energy abundance. Visit Radiance at coloradco.com.
When you're really in pain, everything seems to add to it. Relief can't come fast enough. Now there's new Bayer Quick Release Crystals, a whole new form of pain relief from Bayer that dissolves quickly on your tongue. With an extra pain-relieving booster, it's ready to go to work faster than caplets or tablets, which take time to dissolve. So before you know it, you're feeling a whole lot better. New Bayer Quick Release Crystals with a bold citrus taste. Just rip, pour on your tongue, and expect relief fast. Take with water as directed.
.com.
.com. 9:25, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open. What do you think about that ruling in Minnesota? Judge says that family does not have the right to deny chemotherapy to their kid. Their kid has a form of cancer. 90% survival rate with chemotherapy, 5% survival rate without chemotherapy. The family is saying it wants to do alternative medicine, doesn't want to do chemotherapy. The court says that's medically negligent. What do you think? 303-713-7600. And then, should a company be able to patent a genome code? One company's trying to patent a genome, piece of the genome, in its research for a cure for a form of breast cancer. The question is, should a company be able to patent part of the genome code? I'm not comfortable with it. How about you? 303-713-7600. Let's go to Pat in Thornton.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
About the chemotherapy treatment question, I'm going to start off by saying something intentionally inflammatory. If you're a parent and your child dies because of something stupid you've done, then isn't that evolution in action? I mean, then there's less stupid genes in the gene pool. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what should be done, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, parents do stupid things all the time, not strapping their kids into car seats and whatnot. I don't.
Well, hold on a minute. Now, there's a difference between going, and I'm going beyond your statement about the gene pool, but there's a difference between doing something stupid and doing something negligent, meaning that, and maybe it's semantical, maybe it's not. I think you can make a distinction between a situation where it's very clear what needs to be done, or what can be done to ensure a particular outcome, and there is a deliberative decision, right? It's not careless. It's like thought out, deliberate negligence.
I had another point I wanted to make too that kind of follows into that. There are limits on freedom of religion in this country, and there have been for a while. I mean, Warren Jeffs is in jail because, you know, he wasn't allowed to marry off 13-year-olds.
Right, we don't allow human sacrifice anymore.
We don't.
I don't know if we ever did, but, right, we don't allow...
The Branch Davidians broke a multitude of laws. I mean, Rastafarians aren't allowed to smoke ganja wherever they want. There are limits to freedom of religion. I mean, to me, the question is, if you can't do something illegal in the name of religion, at what point does lack of medical treatment become illegal? So the previous caller that said somebody who broke their leg and nobody was doing anything, I think that's negligent. But
yeah,
on the other hand...
That's right. I think it's negligent, too.
If you are foregoing one treatment and you can prove you're trying a different treatment, like a holistic treatment or something, I'm not necessarily sure that that's negligent.
Yeah, I think the standard, and I think from a public policy perspective, the court needs to create some kind of standard. And that's what the courts do when they make these rulings. They issue and they create, you know, and I just learned this from my brother who just graduated from law school this weekend. You know, he's talking to me about, you know, when courts issue rulings, they set up tests and standards, you know, that then creates a precedent. The court clearly has to come up with some sort of standard here. And I think one of the parts of the standard has to be that, as a parent, if you're going to choose if you're going to defy the doctor in a life or death situation, right? And let's be clear, a lot of these issues aren't as cut and dry. There's certain situations where the doctor will say, well, we can do this, we can do A, B, and C, and it's not clear whether A, B, or C, which one is better. That's a different situation.
Sure.
But in a situation like this where it's like you either do this, and you have a 90% chance of your kid surviving, or you don't do this, and it's a 95% chance of death. That's pretty cut and dry. And there's got to be a standard that says if you as a parent are going to say, well, I'm going to choose to go against the advice.
It's called reasonableness. I mean, in law, there's already something called reasonableness.
Yeah, there should be.
A reasonable person do X.
That's right. And there should be some standard that if you're going to say, well, we're going to do an alternative therapy. But then again, you know, you don't want to. I mean, you're right. We do have restrictions on religious, on the terrestrial expression of religious beliefs, right? You can't.
The one I don't understand is they allow minors to drink wine in church. So that's supposedly illegal, but that's allowed. Is it because we're such a Christian-centered
nation?
Well,
it's sort of
a blind eye to it.
Yeah, it's sort of looked the other way. I mean, I just think it's like, you know, on a life or death situation like this, if you're gonna choose the non-medical route, I think that parents should be under some obligation to, you know, if they're gonna say, well, we're gonna go with alternative therapy, you know, that there should be some obligation to provide some empirical evidence that that's vaguely, empirically, or scientifically rational in a life or death situation.
I have a question for you then. Would your opinion change if it was an organ transplant? Because that's a lot more invasive, I mean, than a treatment.
You mean like you have to accept the organ?
Yeah, if you don't get a heart transplant, you're going to die, or a liver transplant. You've only got a 5% chance of living. I mean, there are some religions that wouldn't want a foreign person, you know, another person's tissue in your body.
Right. Should the parents be able to say to, let's say, an infant, a 3-year-old, who needs a heart transplant, no, you know, we don't want getting a heart transplant, the kid's going to die. Should the parents have that right?
That's a little more invasive than a treatment.
It's tough.
Than a chemotherapy. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, I still think that's, you know, that's just a different form of religious belief if you don't like the chemo I just think it's like, who should be the ultimate, quote unquote, to use George Bush's term, who should be the ultimate decider? I think the parents should be the ultimate decider, but I've got to believe, and I'm not trying to be a nanny stater or anything like that, but I got to believe there's got to be some metrics by which parental decisions on life or death issues are governed by. Otherwise, you're into the realm of saying that a parent should be able to beat their kid as a disciplinary action, effectively. What you're saying is if you say that the parent should be able to decide that the kid won't take or will not take chemotherapy that will save their life, then you should be the kind of person that says, okay, if a parent walks into court and says, yes, I waterboard my child every time they don't take out the trash,
well, yeah,
because that's
no
the way I think they should be disciplined.
I don't know of any religion that includes waterboarding as one of their practices.
Okay, all right, you know, but you get my point.
I do.
You know, that it should be up to, if you want to give the free hand to parents completely, I mean, that's the other side of the slippery slope.
No, go ahead. The waterboarding goes in with the... you know, the Branch Davidians and the Warren Jeffs.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like
you can't break the law and say it's religion.
It's right. It's like a slippery slope on either side. Hey, thanks for the call, Pat.
No problem, Dave. See ya.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break. Let's go to Jeff. You're on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Yeah, good morning, David. I think you're spot on most of it. Hey, I've written a couple of patents on the issue of the genome thing. There's a thing they can have a patent on a method to develop this test, but the gene itself, because it's in the public domain, because it already exists, you know, can't be patented. Then the other issue is, you mentioned the University of Utah is involved in this quite often. Most of this research is done with public monies, and then they try to privatize the findings. So they publicly spread the cost out, and then they privatize the profit.
That's right. That's a very important point. And that's something that gets not talked about very much in this whole debate, that so much of the basic research that gets to the point where you discover something that you'd want to commercially patent, so much of that is already subsidized by the public, whether through the university system or whether through the NIH. You're absolutely right. And that's, you know, you add that into a controversy about whether you can patent something that already exists in nature. And it really gets, you know, the whole patent system is so screwed up. And I should note that the patent system right now has critics on both the right and left. It's not a lefty issue to say you don't like the way they patent the genomes or they patent pharmaceutical. A lot of conservative economists say the entire patent system is absolutely screwed up. In fact, there's a whole free market argument to be made against the patent system. If the free market is really, truly, genuinely free, if you're really a free market fundamentalist and you think there should be all sorts of competition and that the government should just stay out, then you might be somebody who says there shouldn't be any patents whatsoever. You develop something, you've already got your leg up on discovering something that everybody else hasn't discovered. You can go invent something off of it, and you shouldn't need a patent.
There's arguments both ways. I have a number of patents, and it's a limited monopoly or a limited exclusion for a period of time, and it encourages, you know, innovation and development. It's one of the things that made this country great. unfortunately, the system can be abused. The patent system in this country was the star of the world, and then we've been kind of harmonizing with the rest of the world, and it's kind of gone downhill since the kind of the mid-80s.
Yeah,
that's a whole other topic.
It definitely has created, I agree with you, an incentive to do basic research that without the reward of a patent, the basic research probably wouldn't be done, at least in the private sector. I think that there's a case to be made that you need to change from the patent system to a prize system, as opposed to a restrictive system that says your reward is that we, the government, will prevent anybody else from doing research into this or prevent anybody else from having the information you've discovered, to one that says to all comers, hey, if you develop this, you're going to get a huge reward from the taxpayer in terms of money, and then the taxpayer will be able to spread that information out for the betterment of society. It seems to me that might be a better way to go. Hey, thanks for the call. 937, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin. 71 degrees on the Front Range, going up to 92 today. Close to, if not breaking, the records. 303-713-7600. Weigh in here in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Do you think a judge should be able to rule a family as medically negligent for denying their child chemotherapy? Or do you think it should be well within the right of a parent to decide what kind of medical therapies they want their child to have or not have? And do you think a company should be able to patent a genome? One company is trying to patent a piece of the genome to prevent testing, medical testing, on diseases from that genome. 303-713-7600. It's 938. Let's get a traffic update.
Dave, they've reopened westbound I-70 there on the ramp to 225, so folks are making it on to 225 now. We did have an early rollover crash around Colfax. Still got an accident investigation underway. Just two lanes getting past there, so things still sluggish once you get on there at I-70. Westbound 70, still sluggish there from Airport Boulevard to 225, and also eastbounders going to hit some brakes there around 270. Our two late surface street crashes, one around downtown at Park Ave and I-25, another just south of there at Santa Fe and Alameda. Your forecast, mostly sunny skies to start. Late this afternoon, gusty storms may come into town, bringing a few clouds, gusty winds, and a lot of lightning, but little rain, if any. Look for a high of around 93, which is our old record set in 1996. Right now, we're at 76 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The new DexKnows.com has all the local businesses you'll need to make any event or project a success. It's more exact, more detailed, and a lot more local. The new DexKnows.com.
It's over for the Republicans for the next 40 years because they will be viewed as the party that didn't.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
The winner of American Idol.
You are a victim.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
1-800-798-CURE and pledge any amount to the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, that's 1-800-798-CURE.
Ah!
9:41 here on a beautiful but soon-to-be scorching Front Range day. I'm David Sirota filling in here for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. A lot of news out there. Just seems like news has been coming faster and faster. I guess that's partly Obama, partly the new administration, partly the economic crisis. This story I just caught off the wire. So this is a bummer. GM seeks more imports from low-wage countries. With a green light from the Obama administration, General Motors is moving towards a reorganization that will increase vehicle imports from its plants in Mexico and Asia while closing factories and cutting the workforce in the United States. That approach drew a sharp rebuke from the United Automobile Workers Union on Friday in a letter to each member of Congress. The UAW argued that to qualify for more government assistance, the auto giant should be required to maintain the maximum number of jobs in the United States. The administration, however, appears to accept the proposition that to return to profitability as quickly as possible, GM must import a significant percentage of cars from its plants in low-wage countries like Mexico and China, or low-cost countries like Japan. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. Whether that's the right course of action, that's just fresh off the wire. So we will hit that topic tomorrow. In the meantime, we'll go back to the phones, reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, and continue sparring on whether you think a judge was right to say that a family is not, parents should not be empowered to deny their child chemotherapy for a cancer that would be 90% curable, 90% cure rate if he took the chemotherapy, 95% chance of death if he doesn't. Should a parent be able to make that kind of life or death decision for a 13-year-old? Or is that unduly sentencing the child to death, and should the government step in? 303-713-7600. And should a company be able to patent part of the genome? One company is trying to prevent competitors from doing research into a specific form of breast cancer. 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Roger. You're on AM 760.
Well, hello, David.
Hi there.
Oh, good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you.
Listen to you a lot.
Thanks.
Listen, I've had quite a bit of experience with patents, and I thought I'd give you some perspectives to think about.
Yeah.
I've got maybe, depending upon how many countries you want to count, maybe 100 patents. So I've been in that field for quite some time. And one of the things I want to point out, if you wonder where the idea of patents came from, it kind of goes way back to King James. And what people were doing was extracting salt. This was during the salt economy. But they kept it a secret. And the net result was that if the people disappeared or stopped making the salt, there was no way of getting salt. So he basically made it a deal. He said, look, if you tell us how you make your salt and disclose your secrets, and then we'll give you a monopoly on that for a given number of years. And that's what a patent is. It's a monopoly for your research for a period, let's say, of, I think it was 17 years, and it's been changed now recently, depending upon what you want to, how you want to file. So basically, it's a way of guaranteeing that the knowledge that you gained or have discovered or whatever you put together becomes available. Because if in the case of this genome, let's just say the technique of discovering that genome was very convoluted and complex and took a lot of, or maybe it took an accident, which incidentally, almost all of my patents came about because of an accident. The net result is that because of that accident, it's not likely that somebody else would discover it without a lot of additional research. And so by patenting it, you have to disclose your techniques and how you discovered it and how you put that together. Now, I'd have to know more about what the genome is in terms of whether it's in the public domain or not, but I just thought I'd give you some perspective about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I see the other side of this, right? I mean, I definitely see you want to incentivize people to research stuff and figure stuff out about nature that isn't discovered yet. I get that.
But you also want to make sure that knowledge is public to eventually too.
Yeah, you do. You do. I'll go further than you. I don't think you want to make sure it becomes public eventually. I think you want to make sure that it becomes public just as soon as somebody else finds it. Now, I got no problem.
Well, that's what happens when you file a patent, because the patent is published.
Yeah, but okay, but no, I know that. But I'm saying without the patent, I actually don't have a problem with the company discovering something and keeping it secret as it works to do whatever it wants to do with whatever it discovers. That's fine. That's within the company's right. Okay? What I have a problem with is the company discovering something that exists in nature and trying to patent the finding. That's what, because it already exists in nature, they're just patenting the discovery. So it seems, because when they do that, as opposed to just keeping it secret on their own volition, when they keep it secret on their own volition, there's at least the chance that another competitor is at their heels or may stumble onto it some other way. When they come out and publicize it but patent it, they're saying, hey, we found it, and anybody who might have been close to finding this is not allowed to find it. Or they can find it, but they just can't use it because we patented the finding. That to me is like, that's too much. I don't think you should be able to patent the finding, the discovery of something that already exists.
Well, let me give you an example of something. Let's say I found a chemical that exists in nature in a plant that cured AIDS.
Okay.
It was a cure for AIDS. But I keep that a secret in terms of where the plant is, what the plant is, how to find the plant.
Okay.
And how to get it out.
Right.
I die.
Well, look, I mean, but it's your right. I mean,
But is that right for the
No, obviously you're a pretty bad person if you do that. But I mean, legally, there's no way to legislate a mandate that you have to come out and tell us what you find. I mean, I can go find.
Let me back up another point. I have the option to keep it a secret.
Yes, you do.
And the only thing the government is saying is, look, if you're going to do this work, and if you're willing to publish what you have done, so others can follow you, then we will give you a period of exclusivity.
But I feel like what's going on in this case and in a lot of cases is that companies find stuff and they're not coming out to get a patent for the public benefit. They're coming out to get a patent so that nobody else has access to the information to use for profit.
Incidentally, some of that is already illegal, you know. There was a Morrison Act that was passed back about 1980 that came out because that technique was being used by a number of corporations in the country to prevent others from pursuing it.
Yeah, I mean, and what I'm saying is, look, I have a much better, I think we get much better results and much less abuse if we incentivized the publication of, publicity of, and widespread use of scientific discovery rather than creating a reward that basically stops the widespread use of something. So that a reward system where you say, look, whoever comes up with the cure for this kind of cancer gets a really, really huge amount of money. And they don't get a patent, but they get it's the prize method. And this is, by the way, this is not my idea. This is very, very esteemed economist's idea of how to change the patent system, where you create really, really big rewards, especially for, and again, you know, we're not talking about an iPod here, right? We're not talking about patenting something that is a nice item and is fun. We're talking about patenting, like, where the government says, look, we need to find a cure for cancer, right? Like a life or death, major planetary human race kind of issue, right? To me, I think you could create a system like that where it wasn't a patent, that restrictive patent situation, but where it was a reward situation which would actually foster.
What do you consider a reward?
Well, a really large amount of money.
How much?
Well, I mean, you'd have to look at how much, you know, I mean, you'd have to figure that out. I'm not an expert on, I mean, it would be different for every, you know, whatever amount of money a company could make for the cure for breast cancer, it would have to be in that realm, right? I mean, you'd have to make it just as profitable. Hey, thanks for the call.
Okay, good luck.
951, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. we're debating last couple minutes here, whether you think a judge should be able to tell a family that it has to give chemotherapy to a kid, to its child, or whether that's too much authority for the government. And do you think a company should be able to patent a piece of the genome? 303-713-7600. The ACLU has filed an injunction against this company trying to stop it from patenting this genome. What do you think? 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Brian in Fort Collins. Brian.
Hey, David.
Hey there.
I just had a really dark thought about this. The parents giving the consent and the judge ordering them to seek the treatment. I wonder if there is possibly an economic motive that ought to be explored. If these people are of this kind of persuasion, they probably don't have health insurance. So is there some, like I say, it's a dark thought, but is there some potential economic motive that they, we know that 30,000 people die every year in this country because they don't get medical treatment.
Oh, you mean they don't want to pay, you mean they don't want to pay for, they don't want to pay for chemotherapy. Is that what you're asking? Are you asking whether they don't want to pay for chemotherapy?
I'm just wondering if like I said, it's a dark thought.
You know, I don't know if that's what's going on here, and I think we can only speculate. So let's assume that it's not that, because that's a whole separate issue. I think the question is, you know, should this family, and should families in general, should there be some rules governing what you can and cannot decide for children? Because, again, this is a situation. It's not a situation where it's an adult choosing for themselves. This is a situation where somebody's going to make the decision. The parent, the doctor, somebody's going to make the decision. It's probably going to be the parent. And so the question is, since it's a surrogate situation, since it's not somebody deciding for themselves, should that surrogate decision be governed by any rules or laws that society sets out? It's a tough question. Thanks for the call. 954, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Stick around. We'll get a couple more of your calls before we end this, and I head out and put on some sandals and maybe even my first tank top of the summer.
Ew.
Thanks, dude.
You go Soprano-style tank top? Or...
Thanks, dude. Hey, I go Soprano-style
white
sweatsuit here, sweatsuit jacket.
You are kind of gangster.
Oh, man. All right, let's get a traffic update.
You got it. Approaches to 225 on I-70 still behind due to an earlier crash on 225. It's a rollover, still doing some accident investigation there on the southbound side around Colfax. Two lanes getting past, but still really sluggish there from 70 all the way down to side of that earlier crash. Still see a lot of police vehicles on site. Also a couple surface street accidents lingering around, one at Santa Fe and Alameda, another at Park Ave and I-25. Your forecast, mostly sunny, a high of 91, just a couple off our record of 93. Possible late afternoon lightning storms, but little rain, if any, is expected. Right now, we're at 78 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
With a 100-year history of strength and stability combined with state-of-the-art products and services, Colorado State Bank and Trust is committed to protecting your hard-earned money while helping you make the most for your future. Colorado State Bank and Trust. Long live your money. Member FDIC.
Are you still waiting for economic stimulus to trickle down, but you still need a PC now? 345PC.com can help. We have two different PC packages priced at $345 and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. A new PC is as easy as 345PC.com. Visit our website at 345PC.com for complete details and secure online ordering of your custom PC. Assembled in Parker, Colorado. It's as easy as 345PC.com.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Good news if you're a fan of VH1's reality shows. The network has just renewed their shows Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, I Want to Work for Diddy, Brooke Knows Best, Gotti's Way, and Tool Academy for brand new seasons. They've also ordered Sex Rehab with Dr. Drew to be made, a show that's been in the works since earlier this year.
9:56. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. 303-713-7600 is the number. We'll go to a couple more calls. Try to get as many in as we can. Let's go to Don in Fort Collins. Don, you're on AM760.
Yeah, hello, David.
Hey there.
I love your. I enjoy listening to you.
Thanks.
I had actually two things. One thing was the boy in the chemotherapy. It wasn't that they didn't want to pay for chemotherapy. It's they wanted to use an alternative form of treatment, and not their doctor wanted to do the chemotherapy. I believe it was the doctor who actually filed the suit against the parents. So if they wanted to use an alternative method of treatment, and the doctor didn't. So that's my understanding of that.
The county prosecutor is prosecuting this. That's what I read. My guess is that the doctor went to the county prosecutor.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the other thing was about the patent issue. It's not only the genome thing that they're trying to patent. There are drug companies who are trying to patent vitamins. In particular, there's a form of vitamin B6. That is readily available right now to anybody who goes to a health food store or any other store sells vitamins. There's a company now that's trying to patent vitamin B6 so that you couldn't buy your vitamin B6 at a store. You'd have to get it from as a prescription from your doctor.
Again, the issue is that if they discovered a new compound or they created a new compound, let's say that's the right word, they created a new compound, that's fine. If they created it, they should be able to patent it. I don't think you should be able to patent something that already exists in nature. Thanks for the call. All right, that's been the Jay Marvin Show for Monday. I'll be here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. For now, I'll be with my sandals and my tank top. See you tomorrow.
Seatbelt on. Seatbelt on. Look, I can't put it on for you, and you know the cops are out there, right? If you don't wear your seatbelt, you get a ticket. Don't be an idiot. Who's a smart driver?
All across the country, cops are cracking down. Click it or ticket. Day and night. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Fox Tuesday on the American Idol season finale. Two incredible singers go head-to-head one final time.
Here we go!
Then, it's the special preview event of Glee, the new fall comedy for the underdog in all of us.
I'd like to take over Glee Club.
You want to captain the Titanic too?
Critics rave, Glee is incredible. Inspired.